You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Hundreds of protesters gathered outside the Superior Dome at Northern Michigan University on Tuesday to protest President Bush at a campaign rally. More than 20,000 jobs have been lost in Michigan since Bush took the White House, and according to the United Steelworkers of America, the average salary of industrial workers there has dropped 26% since 2000.
Bolivians will go to the polls on Sunday to cast a vote that is detrimental not just to the future of the nation's natural gas reserves, but also to the future of President Carlos Mesa. The referendum will ask if voters want to allow gas exports and have more state control over one of Latin America's biggest reserves. Poverty-stricken Indians, who are the majority in the country, grew up with stories of ancestors being enslaved by European colonists and are skeptical of allowing foreign companies access to resources. Former President Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozado was ousted by Indian groups in October when he announced plans to export gas. Some Indians have called for a national strike to block voting, but the president has ordered troops to ensure citizens have access to the polls. Unrest in Bolivia would be a major setback for Latin America, a region of the world that has been struggling economically for the past two decades.
The Equal Employment Opportunities Commission ruled this week that weapons maker Lockheed Martin is partially responsible for the deaths of six black employees who were shot by a white coworker, Doug Williams. In the months prior to the shootings last year, several black employees contacted Lockheed's Human Resources Department saying that Williams had threatened their lives and repeatedly made racist comments. Lockheed Martin faces at least 8 wrongful death lawsuits in relation to the incident.
Lights will stay on in Boston. An agreement has been reached between the owners of a nuclear plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and union leaders. Representatives of the Utility Workers Union said the agreement was a fair deal that protected the wages, benefits, and safety of workers. In the event that an agreement couldn't be reached, the union had scheduled a strike for midnight on Tuesday that could have led to power disruptions throughout the region. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A recent AP-sponsored poll of 1,000 American adults found more than half are willing to pay more in taxes if the money helps ease congestion in the commute to work. Yet the poll suggests most would want to see the money used for wider roads, not mass transit options. According to national-scale research done by the Texas Transportation Institute, average rush hour commuting times have tripled during the last 20 years.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You put in 30 years at the company. You got good pay, health care. Then they send you a job overseas. And under George Bush, the company actually gets a tax break for doing it. Now, Bush says we're in recovery. And after a year, you finally land another job. And you wonder, is this what you worked your whole life for? We're not being led. We're being misled.
George W., bless his little heart, loves national parks. At least he tells us he does in various campaign ads and carefully staged photo ops that picture him in khaki and plaid walking around our parks. In fact, we now learn that George so loves national parks that he can't stand to hear any bad things said about them. So the Bushites have issued new, upbeat talking points, instructing all park personnel not only to speak positively about park conditions, but also to praise George himself for being so good for our parks. They find it necessary to try dictating what's said about the parks because, well, the parks are deteriorating. Badly. This is especially embarrassing to George because he had campaigned in 2000 on a solemn pledge to eliminate the $4 billion backlog in needed repairs to fix unsafe trails, clogged toilets, closed facilities, etc. But he didn't keep his promise. In fact, he has cut park budgets. The repair backlog now stands at $5 billion and growing. To try covering up the obvious, the Bushites issued an internal memo to park superintendents, instructing them not to use the term budget cuts when telling visitors why things are such a mess, but instead to say service level adjustments. Also, they were told to implement their budget cuts in areas that won't cause public or political controversy. And if visitors ask about the bad conditions, superintendents were told to say, This administration is very committed to preserving the resources of the national parks. What happens if a park official balks at the new Bush speak? Asked Teresa Chambers, head of the U.S. Park Police. When she told reporters that she didn't have the funds to do an adequate job, she was forced to go on administrative leave and ordered not to talk to reporters. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight Bush's politicalization of our parks, call the National Parks Conservation Association, 1-800-628-7275.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Great news from Viagra Sildenafil Citrate. Now there's a card that can get you Viagra for free. Introducing the Value Card for Viagra. With it, every time you fill 6 eligible prescriptions, you'll get the next one completely free. There's no other Viagra, and there's no other offer like this. To get your card, ask your pharmacist or healthcare provider, or go to ViagraCard.com. See the value again and again with the Value Card for Viagra. Go to ViagraCard.com today. Offer may not be available in all areas.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
One hundred and ten days till regime change. Greetings, friends. Top of the day to you. Welcome, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Harpin here, broadcasting live coast to coast, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system and streaming around the planet on radiopower.org and cable radio network. With archives at White Rose Society. You can find it all from www.tomhartman.com, including our chat room, which is filling up as we speak. Just click the live chat button. You know, this happened actually 2 days ago, and I meant to mention it yesterday, and somehow we got so busy it just slid by, but I do not want to allow this to slide by. Charlie Rangel, Congressman Charles Rangel, who I think is, in my opinion, is one of the most high-integrity guys in the United States Congress. He was arrested Tuesday outside the embassy of Sudan, arrested by our guys, right, arrested by, you know, the Capitol Police, outside the embassy of Sudan in a protest over the plight of refugees in Sudan. And as you probably know, I mean, you know, it's been in the news, the government of Sudan in Khartoum in the north is primarily light-skinned Arab, Muslim, and perhaps a majority, certainly half the country of Sudan in the south, is dark-skinned, mostly what you would call African ancestry, and they speak a different language, and they have a different religion. They're mostly animists, a few Christians in there. And there's just this ongoing genocide. And with the rainy season coming in a couple of months, if they get cut off, at least 1 million people are going to die. And the world is standing by. It's like, you know, not enough is being done. And these people need our prayers. They need our activism, our, you know, we as a nation, this is something we should be involved in. And so, you know, I encourage you to keep the people of the Sudan in your prayers and your thoughts and, you know, whatever you do, visualization or whatever. And let your elected officials, particularly your federal elected officials, know that this is an issue for you as well. That, you know, we should not stand by while 1 million people die. I have worked in refugee camps in Africa. I have held children as they died. And it is a horrible, horrible thing. And it's absolutely unnecessary. It's almost always the result of war. People say, oh, there's too many people. Yes, there's too many people. And famine, name a famine for me. I mean, from the Ethiopian famine 25 years ago up to today, it is virtually always caused by war. So We've said that. Now, on to the news. Fox, the Fox television network, Fox News, has launched a right channel. Fox Today launched a right-wing weather channel taking aim, this from theborowitzreport.com, taking aim at what it perceives as a liberal bias permeating most television weather coverage. In its first day on air, the Fox Weather Channel trumpeted its self-styled fair and balanced look at the weather and accused the Weather Channel of being a safe haven for left-wing weather liberals everywhere, blasting what it called the Weather Channel's view that weather can do no wrong. Fox Weather Channel anchor Bill O'Reilly vowed that the new network would take on and challenge the weather at every opportunity. Mr. O'Reilly then launched into an editorial blasting Mother Nature, sarcastically calling her the mother of all natures. Speaking in front of a graphic reading, The War on Weather, Mr. O'Reilly began his weather report. Flash floods hit the East Coast today, causing fires, Greenpeace, 30% chance of rain in Tampa, and a 70% chance that weapons of mass destruction would still be found in Iraq. The network then switched to live footage of conservative pundit Ann Coulter screaming at a tornado. That news from Andy Borowitz, BorowitzReport.com. Of course, it is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but the larger question here is not at all tongue-in-cheek. There's this new movie out, Outfoxed, which is going to be showing in people's homes all across the country. Outfoxed. About what's going on with Fox News. And it's not, interestingly, it's not just Fox News. It's this steady drumbeat of heavy, heavy right-wing radio, and now, you know, the right-wing bias of Fox News has moved the mainstream journalists to the right. And of course, you've got, you know, situations where large corporations that own many radio and television stations are taking aggressively, openly taking political positions. What happens to democracy when a handful of very large corporations take control of your right to know? Our quote to that for the day from John F. Kennedy, "We are not afraid," he said, "to entrust the American people with unpleasant facts, foreign ideas, alien philosophies, and competitive values. For a nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its people." Well, speaking of that, we have our Cheney alert for the day. And why didn't this make it into the world-famous mainstream media, the liberal press? Why didn't this? Anyhow, here's our Dick Cheney theme announcement.
"I've been waiting for you. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. I am the master."
Yes, Vice President here. And here's the story. It was, oddly, it was in the Charleston Gazette, Charleston, West Virginia. But I haven't seen it in any national media, have you? Here's the story. It's written by Tara Tuckweiler. "Police took Nicole and Jeff Rank away in handcuffs." Now, in handcuffs? From what? Well, it turns out that they showed up for a Bush-Cheney campaign event, at which the president and vice president were speaking. Let's see here. But I'm sorry. We should have had our presidential music here. In any case, George Bush was speaking, and these folks had tickets. They had tickets. Yesterday, my brother was in our chat room, and he said, my brother Stan, and he said, "Hey, who's a great guy." He said, "Hey, either Bush or Cheney, I forget which it was, is coming to Lansing, Michigan here in the next week. Do you want me to get you tickets?" And I was tempted, but I would be tempted to wear a T-shirt that says something like, "Clinton lied and nobody died," which is probably sufficiently inflammatory. "Bush lied and thousands died." I don't know, whatever. Anyhow, these two actually had tickets, Nicole and Jeff Rank. This was in West Virginia. And they showed up wearing T-shirts reading "Love America, Hate Bush." Now, they were surrounded by people wearing pro-Bush T-shirts. Bush Cheney 04, you know, Love America, Love George, whatever. They were all around them were people wearing pro-Bush T-shirts. They had tickets for the event, just like everybody else did. We sang the national anthem, says Rank, Jeff Rank, you know, with everybody else. He says, we weren't doing anything wrong. They simply stood around the Capitol steps with the rest of the spectators. Jeff has a master's degree in oceanography. His wife, Nicole, has degrees in biology and marine biology. They've been married for 7 years. These are not wild-eyed protesters or fanatics. These are your basic yuppies, right? 30-year-old professionals. Clean-cut, all-American. And the police came up to them and said, you cannot be here. And they said, why? And apparently the police said, because of your T-shirts. So much for free speech in America, huh? The police not only arrested them, but they took them downtown, fingerprinted them, and took their mugshots. And Nicole Rank, the wife of the couple, the female half, had a job with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or a contract. She was an independent contractor. She had a contract with them. And she was notified immediately thereafter that she was no longer needed at FEMA. She says, I have not been fired per se, but I was released from this job. And when they release you from a job, you no longer get paid. I mean, it's a subtle distinction, I suppose. So if you show up for a Bush-Cheney event wearing a Love America, Hate Bush T-shirt, you will be arrested, fingerprinted, charged with a crime, and if you work for the federal government, you could lose your job. What has happened to America under this right-wing regime? What has happened to America? The Secret Service had been telling local police to sequester anyone displaying any anti-administration message, usually in areas completely out of sight and earshot of Bush. There has been a lawsuit that the ACLU has brought around this. But see, this is what makes this even more glaring as a violation of the First Amendment is that this was not a campaign rally. This was not a campaign rally. This was billed. This was paid for by you and me. You and I, with our tax dollars, paid 100% of the cost of transporting George Bush down to West Virginia so he could be there for this event. And for all the security and everything else, because it was billed as a presidential visit, not a campaign stop. So he made a speech and he didn't say, please vote for me. And the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And here we have a young couple who showed up. And now, you know, she lost her job with FEMA, so they decided to move across the country where she could get a job. And they discovered that they couldn't leave, because if they left, then she wouldn't be there to show up for the court case where she's being prosecuted for trespassing. And she could end up convicted and have to serve time in jail. And if she's out of state, then, you know, this is outrageous. As Andrew Schneider, executive director of the West Virginia ACLU, said, it's an Orwellian way to keep speech out of sight of those the speech is intended to critique. This is outrageous. Now, how does this happen, and how is it that, by and large, it's not covered by the mainstream? Why isn't this a national scandal? I'll tell you when we come right back. This is Tom Hartman, 20 minutes past the hour.
Ha ha! I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
At last, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The latest figures from the Federal Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation say the number of underfunded pension plans dropped last year by 9%. About 1,050 pensions are collectively short some $279 billion, yet the report doesn't paint a complete picture. It only covers pension funds, which are $50 million or more in the red, and conveniently overlooks the massive underfunding that's taken place since 1999.
How can contemporary America possibly compare with 1933 Germany? Find out in Tom Hartman's brand new fully illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America. Through Tom's concise political analysis and Neil Cohn's vibrant illustrations, you'll observe an unsettling, if not shocking, perspective of America. You'll also hear what the founders of this country did to control corporate power. You'll be invited to consider how the American political system can be made more democratic, as well as comprehend the project for the new American century's vision for America. Here's what syndicated cartoonist Ted Rawl said after reading We the People.
An ambitious effort to explain everything that's wrong in America, how things got this way, and what should be done about it. We the People is the product of a brilliant and principled thinker.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman, available in bookstores everywhere.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
See how they explain the inexplicable. Watch them all debate the undebatable. Apparently alive is never liable. Prime time for a talk show screamer.
Hi, yes, welcome back. 24 and a half minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. I've got a couple of clips from this movie, Outfoxed. It's just going to curl your hair if it's not already curl your toes, or what's the old expression? I don't remember. Anyhow, amazing, Amazing stuff. We'll get to that in a few minutes. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, if you'd like to weigh in on the issues of the day. In fact, let's go to the phones here and see what's up. This movie, Outfoxed, it's just going to curl your hair if it's not already curler. Curl your toes, or what's the old expression? I don't remember. Anyhow, amazing. Amazing stuff. We'll get to that in a few minutes. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, if you'd like to weigh in on the issues of the day. In fact, let's go to the phones here and see what's up. Joseph in Las Vegas, Nevada is on the line. Hey, Joseph, what's up?
Good morning, Tom. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I say good morning because it's your end. I guess it's afternoon.
Yeah, it is, but it must be 9 in the morning there.
Over here.
Yeah.
All right. I listen to a lot of talk radio. Obviously. And not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, there's a program that comes out of Chicago, and it's on for a few hours on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The host has a conservative and a liberal on, and they kind of argue back and forth about the issues.
Yeah. This is how we used to do it back in the late 60s and early 70s when I started.
Yeah, and the host is not partial. Our companies would not be able to compete globally.
Yeah, now see, that's very revealing. There's two words in there that are the key words. First of all, we. When he says we, he's talking about the ownership class in America.
Right.
He's talking about that top 1% of Americans, or really the top 0.1% of Americans. And then when he says, you know, we've got to do this, we've got to take advantage. Yeah, this is the conservative agenda, you know, writ large, and there's no consideration for the larger we, none whatsoever.
Right. And it's the Dickinsonian, as you pointed out, the Dickinsonian policies that, you know, people will literally be begging in the streets after a while if these policies continue.
They are right now.
Yeah.
They are right now. Walk through the major cities of America.
I
know.
We have them here in Las Vegas, too.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that they've gambled their money away and they're, you know, they're homeless and lazy, where the fact is that a lot of these people have come in here for jobs that just aren't here.
Yeah.
And so they wind up on the street. But that aside, how would you have responded to this man had you been on that panel? What would you have said to him?
Well, I just would have said essentially what I just said. You know, yes, if you are an owner or if you earn your living sitting around the pool waiting for your dividend checks to come from the stock that you own in a large multinational corporation, you're absolutely right. And if by the economy, we must do this for the economy, if by the economy you mean the stock market, which is what, you know, usually in the press when they talk about the economy, they're talking about...
Yeah, they're alluding to the stock market.
That's right. They're talking about the health of large corporations and corporate profits. If that's your reality, then that is true. But if your reality is the reality of, you know, 150 million or more Americans who work for a living and who are harmed by these kind of policies, then I'm sorry, that's not true. It's just, you know, the opposite is the truth. And you just have to clearly understand, you know, when conservatives talk about we and the economy, they're talking about the stock market and they're talking about, you know, people who own stock.
So essentially they're talking about the privilege.
Sure. Sure, and that's why the cons have for the last 10 years been accusing people on the left of class warfare, because that's what they declared when Ronald Reagan became president. They declared class warfare.
You know, there was a situation where they said, do you recall? They said, "We don't want to throw Grandma into the snow."
Right, Joseph.
That's exactly the policy they're espousing.
Absolutely, absolutely, Joseph. Thanks for the call. I appreciate
it.
Great to hear from you. Great to know that you're listening there in Las Vegas on KLAV. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 29 minutes past the hour. For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-week. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Hundreds of protesters gathered outside the Superior Dome at Northern Michigan University on Tuesday to protest President Bush at a campaign rally. More than 20,000 jobs have been lost in Michigan since Bush took the White
House. President Carlos Mesa. The referendum will ask if voters want to allow gas exports and have more state control over one of Latin America's biggest reserves. Poverty-stricken Indians, who are the majority in the country, grew up with stories of ancestors being enslaved by European colonists and are skeptical of allowing foreign companies access to resources. Former President Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozado was ousted by Indian groups in October when he announced plans to export gas. Some Indians have called for a national strike to block voting, but the president has ordered troops to ensure citizens have access to the polls. Unrest in Bolivia would be a major setback for Latin America, a region of the world that has been struggling economically for the past two decades.
The Equal Employment Opportunities Commission ruled this week that weapons maker Lockheed Martin is partially responsible for the deaths of six black employees who were shot by a white coworker, Doug Williams. In the months prior to the shootings last year, several black employees contacted Lockheed's Human Resources Department saying that Williams had threatened their lives and repeatedly made racist comments. Lockheed Martin faces at least 8 wrongful death lawsuits in relation to the incident.
Lights will stay on in Boston. An agreement has been reached between the owners of a nuclear plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and union leaders. Representatives of the utility workers' union said it was a fair deal that protected the wages, benefits, and safety of workers. In the event that an agreement couldn't be reached, the union had scheduled a strike for midnight on Tuesday that could have led to power disruptions throughout the region. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A recent AP-sponsored poll of 1,000 American adults found more than half are willing to pay more in taxes if the money helps ease congestion in the commute to work. Yet the poll suggests most would want to see the money used for wider roads, not mass transit options. According to national-scale research done by the Texas Transportation Institute, average rush hour commuting times have tripled during the last 20 years.
You've been listening to WIND, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
We're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Welcome back. 26 and a half minutes before the hour. And this is Truth in Broadcasting, the Tom Hartman radio program for a change. We're going to get to a couple of outtakes, a couple of clips. And they're not outtakes. A couple of clips from the movie Outfoxed. One of them is an outtake from an interview between Carl Cameron and George W. That's just remarkable. First, though, say hi to Kodak in North Carolina. One
couple that was arrested.
That was in your neck of the woods, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Did it make the press there in North Carolina?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
It did not. And I read the paper basically every day.
Yeah.
Also, this morning I heard that they had released Whoopi Goldberg from her contract with Slim Fast.
Right, because she dared make a joke about, I didn't hear the exact joke, but what I did hear was it probably was the old joke about when the nation is being run by Bush, Dick, and Colin, you know you're in trouble. sorry about that.
That's a pretty good idea. I heard that one also.
Yeah.
And I also heard, now this was a lady that called in on C-SPAN and said that was a organized group call-in movement.
Yeah.
Where...
Put pressure on the company, punish people for speaking out against the press. How dare she have an opinion in America?
Right. And... Whoopi Goldberg's written statement referred to the fact that she says, yes, she may not be a spokesman for Slim Fast anymore, but this will not keep her from speaking out.
Yeah, God bless her.
Exactly. One other point.
Hey,
yes, Ian.
One other point, Fedek.
I always pull up on the side of the road here.
Yeah. Good plan.
Another thing that I do a lot when I am trying to get my point across to people that do not haven't connected the dots yet, I try to agree with them on some point, as you also do, and then instead of stating my point, I ask them, such as in this the Medicaid and the well, with the trial lawyer. With John Kerry being a trial lawyer, they said this is going to raise up the cost of health care.
Yeah.
I always ask them, you know, well, I'm more concerned about a lot of these insurance companies have been fined millions of dollars, you know, for ripping
us off.
So they have had the record profit making in the last year. So is it, you know, the lawyers on the insurance companies gouging us?
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kodak, and it's a really useful strategy, and actually just, you know, good human decency type communication skills thing to look for the areas of agreement between yourself and somebody else before you get into the areas of disagreement, because the reality is, I think the vast majority of people in America who think that they are conservative. Really hold the same values that you and I do. They want a country that is safe. They want a country that is secure. They want a country where they don't walk out their front door and be confronted by 30 begging children who have you know leprosy and sores all over them because you know they're in a nation that's filled with poverty and disease, like literally 3/4 of the world is. Literally at least 2/3. I mean, we have fully 2 billion people on the planet who don't have access to fresh water and sanitary conditions, and another 2 billion who live on less than $10 a day, 2 billion less than $2 a day. I mean, it's really shocking, and you know they hold the same values we do, but they have been indoctrinated by the conservative media to believe that the way to accomplish those goals that we all hold is to simply hand control of everything over to huge, very, very large multinational corporations, you know, probably fewer than 1,000 corporations, and let those corporations run the government, run the commons, run the function, you know, take responsibility for the cleanliness of our water and the cleanliness of our air and the purity of our food, because they'll do good ultimately. And you know, reality doesn't tell us that, but multimillionaire talk show hosts like Rush Limbaugh tell us that, right?
And as soon as they say something like that, I tell them, remember the diet supplement FinFin and Ephedra, I think was the compound in that was causing heart valve problems.
Yeah.
And this was something that the researchers knew were going to happen, and they made a calculated decision about they would make more money on the product versus the lawsuit.
Well, it was the same calculation that two of the large automakers made that Ralph Nader outed back, you know, with the Center for Auto Safety. And it was the same calculation the tobacco companies made back in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. It was the same calculation the asbestos companies made in the 1930s when they figured out that asbestos causes mesothelioma. I mean, welcome to corporate ethics. The bottom line is that a corporation, if you work for a corporation, particularly as a senior executive, your mission is to increase profits. Period. Kodak, I got a boogie here. I thank you for the call. I want to get to these clips. Great to hear from you. Yes, sir.
Democrats are going to take North Carolina this year.
Okay. If you have anything to say about it, right? Okay. Good on you. Spread the good word.
Right.
Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. I want to play a couple of clips here before we take any more calls. The first is, this is from the movie Outfoxed. And this thing is going to be played. People are having. It's a new kind of distribution, right? This is not going to show up in the theater near you next week. It's going to show up in somebody's house. And you know, you can track it down. There's just plug Outfoxed into Google, and there's a bunch of websites for this. And it's produced by. Oh, I'm forgetting the guy's name, but it's produced by the same guy who's done a couple of other really good documentaries. And here, this is a piece where Jeremy Glickman, whose father worked in the World Trade Center as an employee of the New York Transit Authority, he's a working guy, worked in the world and died in the World Trade Center, and he went on Bill O'Reilly's show. And tried to say, you know, hey, you know, the Reagan administration paid Osama bin Laden to create the Mujahideen, supported him, provided him with weapons, and built al-Qaeda. And O'Reilly, and which is true, by the way, because, you know, it was, we helped do this because the Afghans were fighting against the Soviets. And this was part of the, you know, see, this is what goes around comes around. I mean, this is not, I don't mean this, and I don't think Glickman actually meant it necessarily as an indictment of Reagan. You know, there were people back then who believed that this was the right thing to do. They had no idea that this guy was going to come back and bite us. I mean, maybe if they had been a little more thoughtful, but this is, you know, the law of unintended consequences. But anyhow, he just tries to make that point. And to say that his father was not a supporter of Bush, and O'Reilly just goes nuts. And so here's Glickman narrating parts of you know, talking about when he was on O'Reilly's program on his TV show.
And this pretty tall. And like, dude, like, you, the law is over you.
You see, even, I'm sure your beliefs are sincere, but what upsets me is I don't think your father would be approving of this.
Well, actually, my father thought that Bush's presidency was illegitimate.
Maybe he did, but I don't think he'd be equating this country as a terrorist nation.
Well, I wasn't saying that it was necessarily
that.
You
signed
this,
and it absolutely says that.
And I said, obviously, you do care, because, A, you brought me on the show, and, B, I told him that he uses 9/11 and sympathy with the 9/11 families and the law, and the lives lost, to rationalize his narrow right-wing agenda.
So now, first we had a clip from the O'Reilly show, then we've got Glickman talking to the camera, you know, to the people who are doing the documentary. And I think we go back to the O'Reilly show.
You evoke sympathy with the 9/11 families.
That's a bunch of crap. I've done more for the 9/11 families, by their own admission. I've done more for them than you will ever hope to do.
Okay.
So you keep your mouth shut when you see me exploiting those people.
You're not representing
me. And I never represent you. You know why?
Why?
Because you have a warped view of this world and a warped view of this country.
Well, explain that. Let me give you an example.
No, I'm not
going to
debate this with you.
Let me give you an example of parallel experiences.
No.
September 14th.
Here's the record.
Okay. All right. See, O'Reilly's not going to let this guy talk. And what a bully.
You didn't support the action against Afghanistan to remove the Taliban. You were against it.
Why would I want to brutalize and further punish the people in Afghanistan?
Who killed your father?
The people
who
in Afghanistan didn't kill my father.
Sure they did. The Al-Qaeda people were trained there.
The Al-Qaeda people? What about the Afghans?
See, I'm more angry about it than you are.
So what about George Bush?
What about George Bush? He had nothing to do with it.
The director, senior, as director.
He had nothing to do with it.
So the people that trained 100,000 Mujahideen who were extremists.
I hope your mom isn't watching this. I hope
change the subject quick
here. Watching this.
You know?
It's unfair for O'Reilly to evoke both my mom and my father in the interview, especially when I wasn't.
Yeah, we're back now to Jeremy Glickman talking to the kid. This is from the movie Outfoxed.
You know what I mean? My mom is a grieving widow for a prematurely, a violent, horrific turn in their lives. My dad was only 55. They were working people, you know, working class, middle class. Like, they were not retiring for a while. They, you know, and their life is basically destroyed. You know, their life together is destroyed, and destroyed in circumstances that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemies, including Bill O'Reilly.
Because you. That's it. I'm not going to say any more.
Okay.
In respect for your father.
September 14th, do you know what I was doing?
Shut up.
Please don't tell me to shut up.
As respect.
This is real respectful.
Your father, who was a Port Authority worker, a fine American, who got killed unnecessarily by barbarians.
By radical extremists trained by this government.
Respect
for
him.
Not the people of America.
I'm not going to address
you. The ruling class, a small minority.
Cut his mic. I'm not going to dress you down anymore. Out of respect for your father. We'll be back in a moment with more of
that. We're done?
We're done.
Yeah, and then they were done.
You see him gesturing to security guards,
and then Glickman gets carried out. Right?
Became the after film performance. The executive producer and the assistant encouraged me to leave the building because they were, quote, concerned that if O'Reilly ran into me in the hallway, he would end up in jail.
This is our house here.
So now we're back to a clip after Glickman has left and O'Reilly rationalizing his temper tantrum.
Somebody comes to your house and begins spitting on the floor, you'd remove them. Glick was out of control and spewing hatred for this program and his country using vile propaganda.
The next day, I just turned on and watched the follow-up and saw my views totally distorted. Next thing I know, I was saying Bush planned 9/11.
Glick was saying without a shred of evidence that President Bush and Bush the Elder were directly responsible for 9/11. Now, that kind of stuff is not only loony, it's defamation.
That paints me as a fringe conspiracy nut.
You know, he's like, I'm a fringe conspiracy nut, and I never said that! But O'Reilly said I did. Oh, my. See, this is the world of faux news. The world of faux news. And I've got another clip here that I got to share with you in just a few minutes. Let's take a couple calls. 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number. Eric in Grand Rapids, Michigan's on the line. Hey, Eric, what's up?
Hey, Tom. First time I've listened to your show. I flipped on the dial with all these right wingers on. You're between Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh, and I'm just glad somebody shares my views.
Thank you.
I have a question about. The Republicans of Illinois are so scared about losing that seat, they have to try to run Mike Ditka out to run because they know they're not going to get that. I don't think they're going to get that.
Oh, it's just like Schwarzenegger. You find a star, you know, and then what's ironic is they're going to put Schwarzenegger and all of their other stars on at the RNC, and there's not going to be one of these right-wing kooks who's actually running the Republican Party and running the country right now who's going to be speaking at the Republican National Convention. Instead, they're going to have people who are pro-abortion, pro-women's rights, pro-civil rights, it's so weird. They are hiding who they are.
And then President Bush has to run John McCain out on the. John McCain is the only Republican I think I'd ever vote for president if he ever ran.
I think he's one of the few principled Republicans. Him, Olympia Snow, Voinovich. I mean, there's a half a dozen of them who I think I respect, even though I disagree with them on many of the issues.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Great to hear from you, and glad to know that you're listening to us there on WTKG in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Glenn in Tulsa, Oklahoma is on the line. Hey, Glenn, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Well, I jumped in listening to the talk about tort reform and how much these lawyers' suits add to health care costs. And I remembered last week somewhere, maybe it was reading in the Miami Herald somewhere, an article about the actual cost.
Yeah, we're going to do an entire hour on that this afternoon. It'll be the third hour of the program.
It's 1-2%.
It's less than 1%. Less than 1%.
Yeah, and, it's ridiculous.
And the average recovery from people who sue doctors as a result of death is under $350,000. And the average jury verdict for people who sue doctors because they have been crippled or disabled for the rest of their lives is less than $750,000.
Yeah, it's a straw man. Really, the cost is in the outrageous profits and HMOs.
But see, they're ginning this thing up so that nobody will notice that it's the HMOs and it's, you're absolutely right. Glenn, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. It's the Tom Hartman program. Let's A little bit more of the. Now this is absolutely amazing. Carl Cameron, who is a Fox anchor, news reporter, his wife works on the George Bush campaign, and I'm going to tell you what this is. And then we're going to take a break, and we come back from the break. I'm going to play it for you straight through. It's about a minute and a half, and it is absolutely astounding. Here you've got a reporter. Now, reporters are supposed to be objective, right? Here you've got a reporter, and the beginning is the outtake. It's the part that didn't go on the air of the reporter sitting there with George Bush talking about how his wife is out there on the campaign trail every day working for George Bush, and they're hamming it up and having a good time. And then they go on the air, and suddenly he's like, well, Mr. Bush, as you know, pretending to be the reporter rather than the advocate. This is the, you know, the Fox News style. 10 minutes before the hour, it's the Tom Hartman program. Stick around. We got this great clip for you. We'll be right back.
Want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. Join me this October as we explore Greece, the ancient birthplace of democracy. When the Founding Fathers were searching for the best and fairest form of government, they studied the models of Athenian democracy. We'll explore together this part of the ancient world where the ideas that today animate modern democracy were first worked out. This journey is set on the shore of the sparkling Mediterranean Sea with the sacred mountains of Crete behind us. We'll visit the ancient site of Gortian, famous for the Law Code of Gortian, large 6th century BC tablets of stone built into a wall and one of the first examples of laws ever written down, and now the oldest still in existence. I'll teach workshops at the two most important sites in all of Crete, Knossos and Phaistos, plus more. At Knossos, we'll experience the main ceremonial center and the palace of King Minos. For information on how you can join us on this trip of a lifetime, visit www.tomhartman.com or call 1-800-234-TOUR. That's 1-800-234-TOUR, T-O-U-R.
Tom Hartman will be joining the exceptional faculty of The Great Rethinking, The Prophets Oxford, taking place the weekend of September 10th through 12th at Oxford University, England. You are invited to join Tom Hartman in Oxford, along with other leading visionaries, including Vandana Shiva, Helen Caldicott, and Rupert Sheldrake, among others, to rethink and reshape our collective future. The Great Rethinking Oxford premise is that this tumultuous time in our human history may be crafted into the birthing of something truly new. And you can play your part in shaping this new worldview by joining Tom Hartman September 10th through 12th. To find out how, go to the website greatmystery.org. That's greatmystery.org. Together, we will make a difference.
Researchers learn more about whales and dolphins by doing CAT scans on their fossils. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Whales, dolphins, and porpoises have some of the largest and most complex brains of any mammals on Earth. Lori Marino wants to know more about how these creatures evolved. Marino is a neuroscientist at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia.
One of the things we're interested in is how dolphins and porpoises and whales got their big brains. We know that they have very big brains, and we've done studies to show that next to humans, they're the brainiest mammals on the planet. So the question is, how did they get these big brains? Why did they get these big brains? And what do the big brains allow them to do?
Marino says the brains of many mammals are packed tightly into the skull. The brain leaves an impression in the bone that reveals details about its structure. That means the evolution of the brain is embedded inside fossils of animal skulls. But it's hard to look inside these fossils. What was once bone and brain has been transformed into a solid piece of rock. Marino has studied fossils with the medical technology used for CAT scans on people. This equipment can create a three-dimensional digital image of a living body, and it does the same thing with other types of material. Marino says it's revolutionized her line of work because it reveals different densities in fossils and outlines the parts that were once the bone of a living animal. Marino has used this technology to examine skulls of whales that are more than 30 million years old. She says the digital images are showing how whales developed the wrinkled gray matter known as the neocortex. That's the part of the brain that's critical to high-level intelligence. It's a dominant feature of the brains of whales and dolphins, and also human beings. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Fearlessly exposed.
I'm just an old truth teller. I'm your candid friend.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. 4.5 minutes before the hour. And let's just get right to this clip. This is really quite remarkable. This is a Fox News reporter hamming it up with the president before he interviews him.
George W. Bush sat for an interview in Austin with Fox News Channel's Carl Cameron, who joins us now with highlights. Hello, Carl.
Now, this by the way, this is taken from the movie Outfoxed, which outs Fox News. And now we go to the actual outtake. This is
okay. Tell me when you're ready.
How's it good? Your family?
Very well. My wife has been hanging out with your sister.
Yeah, good. My county.
Laura's been all over the state campaigning, and Pauline has been constantly with her.
Laura's a good person.
She's been terrific. I mean, Pauline, to hear Pauline tell it, when she first started campaigning for you, she was a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
But now she's up
getting
there.
Getting a stride?
She doesn't need notes. She's going to crowds, and she's got the whole riff
down. She's a good soul.
She's having fun, too.
She's a really good soul.
And in any other news organization, in fact, in CNN that very summer, there was a producer whose husband was a lawyer for the Gore team. And this was a producer who would have naturally covered Gore, who was immediately told, you're not to have anything to do with campaign coverage, either covering Bush or covering Gore, because of the possible conflict of interest or the perception of a conflict of interest. At Fox, they didn't care. The fact that the senior political reporter, his wife, is actually campaigning for the Bush campaign at a time when this guy's covering them, that didn't even register. It never would have occurred.
All right, you guys ready? All right.
That's great.
Here we go.
And now we go to the interview.
See, the little things that get disclosed.
I like that.
Thank you for joining us, sir.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Carl. It's good to see you.
Just a few days away from the convention.
That's the lack of having some sort of basic journalistic integrity that is just missing from that organization.
And, this is from the movie Outfoxed. You want to know what's really going on with Fox News. And in the next hour, we'll get into some of the internal memos that have been coming out of Fox News. This is fascinating. Media Matters for America has put this stuff together. David Brock's organization. Guy were blinded by the right. And the truth is coming out. And boy, the Reich wing is really, paranoid and spinning it. Or, doing a very good job of ignoring parts of it. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. You're in the real democracy zone where we're defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hart.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Hundreds of protesters gathered outside the Superior Dome at Northern Michigan University on Tuesday to protest President Bush at a campaign rally. More than 20,000 jobs have been lost in Michigan since Bush took the White House, and according to the United Steelworkers of America, the average salary of industrial workers there has dropped 26% since 2000.
Bolivians will go to the polls on Sunday to cast a vote that is detrimental not just to the future of the nation's natural gas reserves, but also to the future of President Carlos Mesa. The referendum will ask if voters want to allow gas exports and have more state control over one of Latin America's biggest reserves. Poverty-stricken Indians, who are the majority in the country, grew up with stories of ancestors being enslaved by European colonists and are skeptical of allowing foreign companies access to resources. Former President Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozado was ousted by Indian groups in October when he announced plans to export gas. Some Indians have called for a national strike to block voting, but the president has ordered troops to ensure citizens have access to the polls. Unrest in Bolivia would be a major setback for Latin America, a region of the world that has been struggling economically for the past two decades.
The Equal Employment Opportunities Commission ruled this week that weapons maker Lockheed Martin is partially responsible for the deaths of six black employees who were shot by a white coworker, Doug Williams. In the months prior to the shootings last year, several black employees contacted Lockheed's Human Resources Department saying that Williams had threatened their lives and repeatedly made racist comments. Lockheed Martin faces at least eight wrongful death lawsuits in relation to the incident.
Lights will stay on in Boston. An agreement has been reached between the owners of a nuclear plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and union leaders. Representatives of the Utility Workers Union said the agreement was a fair deal that protected the wages, benefits, and safety of workers. In the event that an agreement couldn't be reached, the union had scheduled a strike for midnight on Tuesday that could have led to power disruptions throughout the region. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A recent AP-sponsored poll of 1,000 American adults found more than half are willing to pay more in taxes if the money helps ease congestion in the commute to work. Yet the poll suggests most would want to see the money used for wider roads, not mass transit options. According to national-scale research done by the Texas Transportation Institute, average rush hour commuting times have tripled during the last 20 years.
You've been listening to WIND, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You put in 30 years at the company. You got good pay, health care. Then they send you a job overseas. And under George Bush, the company actually gets a tax break for doing it. Now Bush says we're in recovery. And after a year, you finally land another job, and you wonder, is this what you worked your whole life for? We're not being led. We're being misled.
Costco is different, and that really POs Wall Street. The nationwide retailer treats its 100,000 clerks, forklift operators, and other workers as valued assets to be invested in and nurtured. Unlike the Walmart model of paying the least you can to rank-and-file employees, squeezing the last ounce of toil out of each of them, busting any whisper of unionization, and causing a workforce turnover like employees are nothing but disposable coffee cups. How different is Costco? Starting pay is $10 an hour. Workers typically earn $40,000 a year after 3 years on the job. The company covers 92% of employees' health care costs, and the Teamsters Union provides strong bargaining representation for the workers. Also, while CEOs at other major corporations average 531 times the pay of their lowest-paid employees, Costco's top boss takes only 10 times the pay of his typical rank-and-filer. His annual salary is $350,000, compared to some $5 million a year hauled off by Walmart's honcho. From day one, says the chief financial officer at Costco, we've run the company with the philosophy that if we pay better than average, provide a salary people can live on, have a positive environment and good benefits, we'll be able to hire better people. They'll stay longer and be more efficient and be more efficient. It works. Costco's turnover is minimal, its profits are consistently strong, and its stock price has quadrupled in 10 years. But Wall Street analysts are sourpusses when it comes to this remarkable corporate maverick. Costco's benefits are overly generous, sniffs one Wall Streeter, asserting the stockholders could do even better if only Costco would conform to the Walmart model. This is Jim Hightower saying, come on, Costco is richly profitable for stockholders, while also providing middle-class possibilities for our communities. Isn't that the best model of all?
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert consultant who will answer your question.
And your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got Geico. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. Online at geico.com.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends. Tom Hartman here with you. We're talking in this hour about what's up with the cons in the media. Particularly, I want to start out largely here with faux news. Or Fox News, I guess. There's this new movie out. Outfoxed! Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism that is being shown in homes all across America. And Fox News Channel's host John Gibson, responded to charges of conservative bias at Fox, which are showcased in this new documentary, Outfoxed. On the 12th of July... 3 days ago, in his program, Fox News Channel's The Big Story with John Gibson. All right, well, here's the big story, according to John Gibson. He says, "You have America's major media dominated by the left. 80-some percent of reporters are self-described liberals." And then in his July 13th column, he repeats this lie, saying, "Liberal bashing Fox News again." And, you know, this is published in the Fox News Channel. Unfortunately, he was off by 46%. Yeah, 46%. A report, and in fact, this is the only, you know, real report that's been done by this. The Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, which is notoriously middle of the road. This is the Pew organization is one of those organizations that has survived all these years by just playing it straight right down the middle. And they released a report on the 23rd of May, which found that nationally, 34% of journalists identify themselves as liberal. 54% identify themselves as moderate. And 7% identify themselves as conservative. Now, I suppose if you were on the right, you could make a big deal out of that. You could say, oh, well, 34% are liberal, 7% are conservative. That's a little more than 3 to 1. It's a little more than 4 to 1, isn't it? 4 times 7 is 28. So it's, you know, between 4 and 5 to 1. That's a significant chunk. But, number one, it's only 34%. It's not the majority of journalists. And number two, by and large, the thing that journalists are trained to do is not interject their bias into their product. I was a news reporter for 7 years, and at a certain level, you can't avoid it, right? We're all human beings. Because, you know, you have to decide, okay, what's an important news story, for example? Well, you know, your worldview is going to color that, although there are certain benchmarks, I guess you could say, or standards. But by and large, journalists are, you know, trained not to interject their bias, number one. And number two, I think the reason why you see this, that the majority, 54% of journalists describe themselves as moderate, 34% describe themselves as liberal. On a local level, 23% of local journalists describe themselves as liberal, 12% as conservative, 61% said that they were moderates. I think that you're just seeing the fact that, particularly on the national level, that it takes a college degree to become a journalist, and most people who have been through higher education, probably in about this ratio, probably about 5-1, come out of college, quote, liberal as opposed to, quote, conservative, because somewhere along the way they got exposed to things like American history or civics, right? What used to be called civics. And they get it. You know, like our quote for the day, John Kennedy. We are not afraid to entrust the American people with unpleasant facts, foreign ideas, alien philosophies, and competitive values. For a nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its people. Just put it out there. But anyhow, so, you know, apparently the truth is not a high value there. In fact, reporting, which they don't describe themselves as liberal, but, you know, I would say has a leftward bent. But they've done some really good research here. And, I mean, this is just the numbers. For the last 3 years, at how Fox News presents the news to the poor unfortunates who watch. They don't describe them as poor unfortunates. I would. And the reason I'd say they're poor unfortunates is because people don't realize that they're being brainwashed. I mean, talk radio, sure. I have a political agenda. I want to see democracy return to the United States of America. I'll just tell you right up front. That's what I'm about. And my conception of democracy is that we, the people, run our government and run our nation. And the conservative idea of democracy is that very large corporations run our nation and own our government. And they wrap that in all sorts of things to distract you. Like, George Bush's father. Those of you who are old enough to remember what was happening in 1992 at this moment, more or less. I mean, it's give or take a month or so. As George Herbert Walker Bush was running for re-election against Bill Clinton. Remember what was happening in the United States Congress and on the news? It was an amendment to the Constitution to ban flag burning. You remember? It's called Distract Them. Everybody knew there was no way they could amend the Constitution to ban flag burning. The Supreme Court had ruled twice that it was protected speech. You have a right in America to burn the flag. It's not anything I would ever do, frankly, but why should we get hysterical about things like this to the point that we're willing to behave like the Nazis did? Yes, in Nazi Germany, it was a felony to burn the Nazi flag. And they went to war against England where it is not a crime to burn the flag. Which do you want? But anyhow, are we going to refight that war? I don't think so. And that's the point. See, it's the love to take these issues that they know they won't win. They know they won't win. Judge Moore knew. He knew. I mean, the guy wasn't stupid. He was the head of the Supreme Court in Alabama. He knew that he was going to lose the fight to have a 2-ton marble graven image of the Ten Commandments, which say, thou shalt not have graven images, in the Capitol, in the rotunda of the Supreme Court building. He knew he was going to lose that. But what great publicity. What great publicity. What, you know, all the money that was raised around that issue. And this guy is, if he's not running for political office, I haven't been keeping track. If he's not running for political office right now, I guarantee he will be in 2 years. So it's, you know, distract people from the real issues. That's the the interesting secondary agenda, you know, the first agenda, of course, of the conservative agenda, cheap labor. Everything boils down to cheap labor. Drug laws, you get a lot of people in prison. Now they're putting factories in prisons. Cheap labor. Hey, it's almost as cheap as the Philippines. It's even cheaper than India. But anyhow, back to this FAIR report. FAIR did this study of Fox News, and they've done this for 3 years in a row. 2001, 4 years. 2001, 2002, 2003. They must be, we're in the middle of the 2003 sample. And here are some of the results. Conservatives outnumbered progressives. So they don't like to refer to themselves as liberal. They FAIR prefers the word progressive. I rather like the word liberal. You know, liberal means tolerant, loving of democracy. I mean, look up liberal in dictionary. I think it's a fine word. Anyhow, conservatives outnumber progressives by more than 5-1. 57% of special report guests were ideological conservatives, 12% were centrists, and 11% were progressives. 20% were non-ideological. Among ideological guests, conservatives accounted for 72%. Okay. Furthermore, on Fox News, Republicans outnumbered Democrats by 5-1. Of the handful of Democrats who did appear, the majority were centrist or conservatives, like, you know, Zell Miller. The Republicans like to talk about their rhinos. These are dinos, right? Democrat in name only. Zell Miller is just so, he's such a walking tragedy. Anyhow, Republicans outnumbered Democrats by 5-1. Of the handful of Democrats that did appear, the majority were either centrist or conservative Democrats. Only one of the Republicans who was interviewed was a centrist, and none were progressive. And finally, women and people of color continued to be scarce. Only 7% of guests were women, and only 11% were people of color. Now, 7% were women. I think last time I checked, roughly 50-51% of our population was female. Only one woman of color was featured in a one-on-one interview, and that was National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. And the female and non-white guests were remarkably conservative. No progressive women and only one progressive person of color appeared. This, from FAIR.org, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And now we get into the memos from John Moody and Ken LaCoste. Who are these guys? John Moody is the Fox News Senior Vice President of News and Editorial. And Ken LaCoste is the Los Angeles bureau chief. And these guys are sending out these memos, according to MediaMatters.org, Media Matters for America. Moody instructs employees on the approach to take on particular stories, and his instructions reflect a clear interest in furthering the conservative agenda and in supporting the Bush administration. The Post quoted Larry Johnson, a former Fox commentator, this is in the movie Outfoxed, describing the Moody memos as, quote, talking points instructing us what the themes are supposed to be, and God help you if you stray, end quote. Fair and balanced. 20 minutes after the hour, Tom Hartman with you.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
At last, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. 20% of Iraq veterans who were in at least five firefights are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, according to a new study by the New England Journal of Medicine. PTSD is debilitating, causing headaches, sleeplessness, hypervigilance, and depression. The disorder has plagued a total of 12.6% of soldiers returning from Iraq, and the chances of suffering from it only increases with the amount of time spent in combat zones.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find this sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
Start me up. Start me up. Start me up for my time. Once you start me up, keep that start and give it all you got, all you got, all you got.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 24 and a half minutes past the hour. Just catching up here on... I was actually looking for this definition. I found it. Todd Smythe or Smith sent me this in the email. The definition of liberal. So from the dictionary, right? Definition: warm-hearted, readiness to give, generous, free, enlarged in spirit, not narrow or contracted in mind, not selfish, favoring proposals for reform, open to new ideas for progress, and tolerant of the ideas and behaviors of others, broad-minded, not limited by authoritarian attitudes, free of bigotry. Political party advocating the principles and ideals of economic freedom, greater individual participation in government, and constitutional, political, and administrative reforms designed to secure these objectives as distinguished from monarchical or aristocratic forms. Synonyms of liberal: tolerant, open-minded, generous, and free-thinking. Antonyms, that is opposite words, narrow-minded, bigoted, and prejudiced. And Todd wraps that up by saying, call me a liberal. Okay. So we won't call you a progressive, Todd. 1-866-888. I'm sorry. 1-866, our toll-free number, 1-866-888-9800. 889-8894. And we've just recently picked up a couple of new affiliates and a whole bunch of stations around the country as a result of going on Channel 1 of Cable Radio Network. And so if you happen to be listening, particularly on CRN, I'd great to hear from you. Whether you agree with me or disagree with me, 1-866-889-8894, telephone number. Dave in Humboldt County, California, listening on KGOE, right?
Yes, indeed.
Is on the line.
Thank
hey, Dave.
Being there again, Tom. I'm thinking, incidentally, call me a liberal. I like that definition. But that crooked politicians have been with us, I guess, forever. But it's the magnitude of the problem, I think, that we're facing right now. What I think is the present White House, two words, deception and exploitation.
Well, see, here's the problem, Dave. These guys, I mean, you've got like Tom DeLay, for example, taking corporate money, you know, and now the Republic, which is a crime in Texas, you know, to try and influence elections in Texas. This is so ironic. I mean, he's taking corporate money and funneling it to the Texas Republicans. And so he's being investigated now because he may have committed a felony. Yeah, he's being investigated by the Senate. Five of the six senators who are investigating him were recipients of his money. Yeah, but these guys don't see anything wrong with it. They think that's how it should be. The conservative worldview is really believing in a form of aristocracy, a form of corporate aristocracy, to be sure, but aristocracy nonetheless. The robber barons were just fine. They would, you know,
believe for a moment that they would stop short of trying to control.
Well, they've already done it.
Back to them.
I mean, look what happened in Bolivia. Bechtel went down there and you know, with a couple of partners, and they took over. They, you know, they privatized the water supply in Bolivia. Bechtel went down, did this thing. They set up a subsidiary corporation to do it, and they said to the peasants, "If you catch rainwater off your roof, you must pay for a license."
This is more than a minor character disorder. Do you think
you
they stopped short of rigging an election?
I don't think that they would stop short of rigging an election. I think that they did rig the Georgia election in the last election, and clearly they rigged the Florida election in 2000.
The big question, do you think they would stop short of staging an event to justify invading a country?
Well, no, and in fact, look at what Lyndon Johnson did with the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. He was a Democrat,
yeah.
And you know, this isn't limited to one party. This is the problem: is change the mindset. We need to remind Americans what American democracy means, and get statesmen and women rather than politicians into office. And this is going to be a big job.
Becoming civilized people.
There you go. It's going to be a big job, but it's what we have to do. Dave, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. And David in Grand Rapids, stick around. Hang on. We'll take your call after the break. 29 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Yeah, I really think that I'm representing the views of the majority of Americans. Really do. Stick around. For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Hundreds of protesters gathered outside the Superior Dome at Northern Michigan University on Tuesday to protest President Bush at a campaign rally. More than 20,000 jobs have been lost in Michigan since Bush took the White House, and according to the United Steelworkers of America, the average salary of industrial workers there has dropped 26% since 2000.
Bolivians will go to the polls on Sunday to cast a vote that is detrimental not just to the future of the nation's natural gas reserves, but also to the future of President Carlos Mesa. The referendum will ask if voters want to allow gas exports and have more state control over one of Latin America's biggest reserves. History grew up with stories of ancestors being enslaved by European colonists and are skeptical of allowing foreign companies access to resources. Former President Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozado was ousted by Indian groups in October when he announced plans to export gas. Some Indians have called for a national strike to block voting, but the president has ordered troops to ensure citizens have access to the polls. Unrest in Bolivia would be a major setback for Latin America, a region of the world that has been struggling economically for the past two decades.
The Equal Employment Opportunities Commission ruled this week that weapons maker Lockheed Martin is partially responsible for the deaths of six black employees who were shot by a white coworker, Doug Williams. In the months prior to the shootings last year, several black employees contacted Lockheed's Human Resources Department saying that Williams had threatened their lives and repeatedly made racist comments. Lockheed Martin faces at least 8 wrongful death lawsuits in relation to the incident.
Massachusetts and union leaders. Representatives of the Utility Workers Union said the agreement was a fair deal that protected the wages, benefits, and safety of workers. In the advent that an agreement couldn't be reached, the union had scheduled a strike for midnight on Tuesday that could have led to power disruptions throughout the region. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A recent AP-sponsored poll of 1,000 American adults found more than half are willing to pay more in taxes if the money helps ease congestion in the commute to work. Yet the poll suggests most would want to see the money used for wider roads, not mass transit options. According to national-scale research done by the Texas Transportation Institute, average rush hour commuting times have tripled during the last 20 years.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, let's hope the time is on our side. I mean, we started the first hour of the program here with the story of Nicole and Jeff Rank last week or the week before, who had showed up for a George W. Bush. It was not a campaign event. You and I paid 100% of the cost of it. It was a presidential visit to Charlotte, West Virginia. This is in the Charleston, West Virginia. Excuse me. It's in the Charleston Gazette. WestVirginiaGazette.com. They had tickets, and they were standing on the steps of the Capitol singing the national anthem, surrounded by people who were wearing T-shirts that said George Bush 2004, Bush Cheney 2004, and they were wearing T-shirts that said Love America, Hate Bush. They got arrested, they got fingerprinted, they got booked, they got charged with a crime. And the wife of the family, who was working for FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, lost her job. Welcome to America. 1-866-889-8894, telephone number, 26 minutes before the hour. Let's go to Dave in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hi, Tom.
David.
I'm definitely going to take issue with a few things you said.
Good.
First off, now you could call Tony Snow biased or whatever you want to say. Yes, he does for Fox. However, he reported, and it's never been refuted, that in the last three elections, when Clinton twice and Gore, the Washington Press Corps, voted over 89% in favor of the Democratic candidate.
So what? The flip side of that, David, is that the publications in which the Washington Press Corps was publishing are owned overwhelmingly by Republicans.
But what does the corporate ownership have to do with that?
Well, who gets to say what's going to be in the New York Times, the owners or the reporters?
You're kidding. So you're telling me that NBC, with Tom Brokaw at the helm, who was heard on election night when Florida was initially called for Gore, was heard walking off the set saying, yes, we got this in the bag. You're saying he has no control, and that Dan Rather, who sat on the Gary Condit story for 2 months and refused to report it, because he's a Democrat. And Dan Rather, when asked why, he said, I did not deem it newsworthy.
David, you're talking about the NBC. David, you're talking about the NBC that that owns three-quarters of MSNBC, or a majority of MSNBC, that as a result of an internal consultant came in and said, we've got to get rid of Phil Donahue doing his show because he's liberal, right? Because, you know, we're going into a war. And this was the most highly rated show on MSNBC. It had higher ratings than Chris Matthews. Well, and they canned it because of their politics, because of corporate politics. You cannot tell me, David, that ultimately the decision about what makes it onto the air is not made in corporate boardrooms. You can't tell me that. And you can't believe that.
But why when Connie Chung, for instance, Greta Van Susteren.
Why was Clear Channel organizing a thing against the Dixie Chicks?
Because
they own 1,200 radio stations.
Okay, that's a very valid statement.
See, this is the reality. Yes, I'm agreeing with you and disagreeing with you. Yes, there are a lot of journalists out there who are liberals, and there are 34% of them are liberals, 7% of them are conservatives. Granted, but the ultimate decision is not made by the journalists; it's made by the people who own the stations.
Then can you tell me why it's all right for Dan Rather to sit for 2 months on a Condit story and never have any repercussions for that? When Connie Chung interviewed Condit, the very first thing, if you check the interview, she said, tonight I'm interviewing conservative Democrat. That's how he was described, conservative Democrat.
That's what he was. There are conservative Democrats out there.
Oh, really? So Ted Kennedy,
Ted Kennedy's a liberal Democrat. Zell Miller's a conservative Democrat. Come on, David.
Right, but I mean, so why would you, you know why she put that on there? To simply incite the fact that he's a conservative. Forget the fact that he's a registered Democrat and voted like a Democrat, but to throw that he might have a few conservative ideologies.
David, you're going to take two or three little stories here and paint the entire media with these things. I mean, that's what Goldberg tried to do in his book about, liberal bias in the media. It's been totally debunked. I mean, read a little further, please.
Wait, Tom, you said Fox News is completely slanted.
No, I didn't say it was completely slanted.
Okay, I defy you to name for me as many conservatives on the payrolls of MSNBC, ABC, CBS. Fox has Alan Combs, Greta Van Susteren, Geraldo, Gloria Allred, Jeffrey Figer, Susan Estridge, Juan Williams, Ellis Hennigan, Lanny Davis, Mara Liasson, and I'm sure I could come up with some others. So could you tell me how biased they are when they allow, and they have double the viewership as CNN. The crap out of CNN, which was only for the longest time the only game in town.
Yeah, so you got really nice talking points here, David. But, the bottom line is Fox is unambiguously conservative in their bias.
There's no doubt that Rupert Murdoch is a conservative, but he also does present. He allows diverse viewpoints all the time.
Yeah, right.
That's my whole point.
Okay. Thanks for the...
So you're saying he doesn't?
Well, I'm saying I just told you he doesn't. If you look here, look at the guests, okay? 57% of their guests are ideological conservatives, 12% are centrists, 11% are progressives or liberals.
How many times has Hillary Clinton been invited on O'Reilly and she refuses? And if you tell me that O'Reilly is so far to the right, O'Reilly trashes as many conservatives as he does liberals.
Yeah, in your dreams, David. Thanks for the call, though. It's great to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Ed in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Ed, what's up?
How you doing? I'm sorry to talk about something that happened a day or two ago, but you had an ex-Navy man on that dealt in nuclear weapons, and I also dealt in nuclear weapons, was in the Navy, and I actually saw a nuclear weapon go off. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, you're still on. You're still on, Ed.
And I was close to a tactical nuclear weapon, and they're a whole lot bigger than the impression that is left by the military with these precision weapon ideas.
Sure.
And also, I heard about the Patriot missiles that were used in the Gulf War, the recent war, and I heard that they only hit their mark like 4 out of 44 attempts. And we're given the impression that these are extremely precision weapons. And it was my experience in the Navy that the military, over blew the the results of whatever
yeah.
they were doing.
Well, you know, you would expect that. I mean, you know, they're everybody is trying to cover their butts all the time, right? It's but and in fact, I mean, that's the same thing that we were saying to the somewhere between 10 and 40,000, nobody knows for sure, civilians who died in Iraq. You know, well, we sometimes we make mistakes. You know, sometimes we have errors. We're sorry about that. Ed, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. I want to just here's John Moody, who is the Fox News senior vice president. A couple of his memos. Moody on the Abu Ghraib prison abuse scandal. So this goes out to all the news, all to the entire Fox News staff. Reporting instructions issued by Moody to the Fox News staff. This is from MediaMatters.org. The pictures from Abu Ghraib prison are disturbing. They have rightly provoked outrage. Today we have a picture aired on El Arabiya of an American hostage being held with a scarf over his eyes, clearly against his will. Who's outraged on his behalf? It's important that we keep the Abu Ghraib situation in perspective. Another memo. As is often the case, the real news on Iraq is being obscured by temporary tragedy. The creation of a defense ministry, which will be run by Iraqis, is a major step forward. Let's look at that, as well as the deaths of a U.S. soldier in a roadside bombing. And then he says, it won't be into Fallujah. It's called Operation Vigilant Resolve. We will cover this hour by hour today, explaining repeatedly why it is happening. It won't be long before some people start to decry the use of excessive force. We won't be among that group. He goes into, do not fall, this is from his memo of April 6th of this year, do not fall into the easy trap of mourning the loss of U.S. lives and asking out loud why we are there. The U.S. is in Iraq to help a country brutalized for 30 years protect the gains made by Operation Iraqi Freedom and set it on the path to democracy. Oh, really, Mr. Moody? I thought we were there because they had weapons of mass destruction and presented a clear and present imminent threat and danger to the United States of America. David, well...
which is a war profiteer in the war in Iraq right now.
Yeah, one of the largest defense contractors in the world.
Exactly, exactly. And they are also into disinformation, okay, putting out disinformation. Now, I believe it was in the San Francisco Bay Guardian had an article that came out that talked about Rumsfeld. I believe it was Rumsfeld started a whole office of disinformation.
Yeah, it was called the Office of Special Plans. It was run by Doug Feith. And this is the group that was working with Curveball and with Chalabi and feeding information directly into the White House that was, in retrospect, lies.
Yeah, well,
and the Senate
Rumsfeld
Intelligence Committee on Friday issued a special white paper on this, which is getting absolutely no coverage, where they just laid this thing out.
Yeah, I've known about the Office of Special Plans. I mean, that's one thing Americans do not know anything. They are totally kept in the dark.
They're
fed misinformation, disinformation. But also that Rumsfeld piece I was talking about was to control the media.
Yeah.
Not this is separate from the Office of Special Plans, but this was to control the media and the talking points that the media, all the media in this country need to follow.
Yeah, this is what John Moody is doing in his memos to the folks at Fox. Thanks a lot for the call, Nora. Great to hear from you. He talks about how we're in Iraq to set it on the path to democracy. Some people in Iraq don't want that to happen. That's why American GIs are dying, and what we should remind our viewers. Yes, here's the spin for the day, my friends. 1-866-889-8894. Alfred in Wyoming, Michigan is on the line. Hey, Alfred, what's up?
Well, I wanted to call and respond to that rabid individual from Grand Rapids. Unfortunately, this is a situation we come into. But mentioning about that Congressman Condit, if my memory serves me correctly, at the time that intern disappeared, Bush was out in California on a campaign trail, and he had Condit on the stage with him and said he was his favorite Democrat.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, Gary Condit was a conservative Democrat.
But I realize he was so rabid and hysterical that...
Well, he had his talking points down. I mean, when you can rattle off a list of 15 people just bang like that...
Can you hang on just a minute? I want to get something to that was in the Grand Rapids Press that'll show you why we're in a situation.
Okay.
So hang on.
I would say when you can rattle that off that fast, you've got it in front of you and complains about this, right? Liberals who call up who are really, you know, they're like, what do you call them, program calls or something? I get the conservative one. It's fun.
Hello,
actually.
Tom?
Yeah, we got to move along here quickly,
okay.
Alfred.
In the Grand Rapids Press yesterday, they're having a hearing from the state legislature in Grand Rapids on the 22nd because the challenging social studies test routinely produces the lowest scores of subjects tested on the MEA Michigan Educational Assessment Program, And some schools have no students passing the test, which covers history, geography, economics, and civics. And they're having an open sessions on the 22nd of July. But this is what the problem is. They're not teaching these subjects. And so they people begin to fall into the trap of the Rush Limbaughs and the Michael Savages and the Hannitys. And
yeah, this is here I am. I suppose I'm part of the problem. I think I'm part of the solution. But in any case, talk radio is where people are getting most of their civics training. It's because our schools are not teaching it. I absolutely agree with you, Alfred. Alfred, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Simon in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Simon, what's up?
Oh, it's good to talk with you, Tom. I do appreciate your show very, very much.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
I actually wanted to bring up, considering Election 2000, considering what's going on with our public schools, the war on drugs, the fact that our nation has declared war on its people several times over now since the Reagan administration, don't you think it's time to, instead of arguing about, well, you know, who's done what in the White House, and since it's very obvious that so much is going on there that is against the American people, don't you think it's time to start talking about revolution? Changing this?
No, if you're talking about violent revolution, no, I don't.
No, I'm not talking about violent revolution at all.
Okay, what do you mean by revolution then?
I mean progressive direct action.
Such as?
There is enough know-how and smarts within the American people, within every single community, to employ what technology we have now to neutralize the current infrastructure without ever hurting a soul.
Yeah, see, I don't...
And to actually work also... within setting up new self-sustainable energies and technologies, different style of
see here's where that falls apart.
Things
Simon.
Of this nature, here? Like Dimaxing technology from Buckminster Fuller.
Yeah, Simon. Here's where that falls apart. Is if you are talking about okay, let's produce something that is positive that people can look at and say, wow, that's really cool. That you know, I'd like more of that. You know, in other words, if you're driving a more fuel efficient car, if you put solar panels on your house, or you know, if you're talking about issues stuff like that, you know, it's if you offer a positive alternative, people will emulate it. People will learn from it. People if you try to take down infrastructure, you're just going to anger people, and you're going to get reaction rather than action, and you're going to drive people away from you. I mean, that was the big lesson of all the riots and whatnot in the '60s, is that it further polarizes people. I don't think it's useful. It's not the way to make things happen. And every time you look back, you know, in recent history, every time that there has been this sort of internal violent revolution. Mm-hmm. It generally
setting up a worse kind of system.
It usually does. I mean, the United States is the exception to that, but it really wasn't an internal violent revolution. We threw off a foreign power that was controlling us. But you know, if you look at the Bolshevik Revolution, I mean, look what
like
it happened.
Pfizer, Eli Lilly, things like that sponsor the national drug control policy and that are actually causing 2 million Americans to be in jail for nonviolent offenses.
Sure, and the way to respond to that is in the ballot box.
You can consider that definitely a foreign power that is coming onto the people.
No, this is a domestic power that is harming us.
Them, detaining them for things that they have not hurt anybody over and have actually, in my opinion, really don't deserve to be in jail for.
Yeah, well, you can make that point, and it's a good point, Simon. But I see these guys as this is part of us, and we need to heal us. The more we create us and thems, I think, frankly, the more harm we do. I think we need to make a larger and more inclusive and more useful us. Tom Hartman here with you, 10 minutes before the hour.
The following phone call was not recorded on February 30th, 2004.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Lynn. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channels?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a 4-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total choice for only $29.99 a month for the first 6 months. A $60 value. 800-505-1542. At $4.99 a month per second in each additional receiver. Offer ends July 17, 2004. Call now.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's The Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
Tom Hartman will be joining the exceptional faculty of The Great Rethinking, The Prophets Oxford, taking place the weekend of September 10th through 12th at Oxford University, England. You are invited to join Tom Hartman in Oxford, along with other leading visionaries, including Vandana Shiva, Helen Caldicott, and Rupert Sheldrake, among others, to rethink and reshape our collective future. The Great Rethinking Oxford premise is that this tumultuous time in our human history may be crafted into the birthing of something truly new. And you can play your part in shaping this new worldview by joining Tom Hartman September 10th through 12th. To find out how, go to the website greatmystery.org. That's greatmystery.org. Together, we will make a difference.
With the Workers Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner bringing you today's feature story. Recently, a group of workers gathered in the Garment District in New York City to launch the Ain't I a Woman campaign, a national boycott against Liberty Apparel. Rebecca Miles was there.
The campaign demands that the manufacturer be accountable to their subcontracted workers. In 1999, 26 garment workers sued Liberty Apparel for sweatshop conditions in their U.S. contracted factories and failure to pay minimum wage. Many workers, when paid, were earning $3 an hour. Anna Chong from the Ain't I a Woman campaign.
It's been 5 years, but 5 years they still refuse to pay their workers. Their kids are grown and they have not received a single cent. By not paying these workers, they're actually trying to change the law. They're actually trying to change the Fair Labor Standards Act. And because this will affect workers across the country, this boycott is also about holding all manufacturers accountable and all companies that subcontract accountable, and for them to stop hiding behind the subcontracting system.
What concerns workers is the increase in subcontracting, especially where subcontractors are not accountable when accidents happen on the job, or where the company suddenly disappears when there is any kind of protest, as in the case of Liberty Apparel and its subcontractor. David Ting, a high school student whose mother worked long hours in a nail salon.
The subcontracting system is not limited to the garment industry. White-collar workers such as lawyers and paralegals are employed through temp agencies. And although they are well paid, they have absolutely no control of their working hours and may work for years without contract.
We were unable to contact Liberty Apparel Company as the line was constantly busy. Their clothing line is sold in outlets like Conway and Family Dollar for families on tight incomes. And ironically, is durable clothing for workers and hunters. For the Workers Independent News Service, I'm Rebecca Miles in New York.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman with you 4.5 minutes before the hour. Fox News Senior Vice President of News and Editorial John Moody, his talking points for the day from June 3rd of last year, talking about George Bush. His political courage and tactical cunning are worth noting in your reporting throughout the day. Yes, and on March 23rd, the so-called 9/11 Commission has already been meeting. In fact, this is its eighth session. The fact that former Clinton and both former and current Bush administration officials are testifying gives it a certain tension, but this is not what did he know and when did he know it stuff. Do not turn this into Watergate. Remember the fleeting sense of national unity that emerged from this tragedy. Let's not desecrate that. Yes, the fleeting sense of national unity that George Bush absolutely trashed. 1-866-889-8894. Brian in New Jersey's on the line. Hey, Brian, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I have a couple of conservative friends, and one that I go to a diner with about 3 o'clock in the morning once a week, and we were having an argument about free trade. And he says that tariffs basically say that, you know, that's not free trade if there's tariffs. And he says...
He's right.
How do I argue the point that, you know, we're losing jobs in America? And he says that we're creating more jobs in America by outsourcing. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well,
I just didn't know how to answer him.
Yeah, we are creating jobs. We're not creating more jobs. And you know, outsourcing is just very simply. This is... You know, the race to the bottom. This is cheap labor. I mean, it's very simply. I am not in favor of free trade. I am in favor of fair trade. I'm in favor of trade that benefits my country first. That my country's trade policy, just like China says that there are things that we can't import into China or they're going to charge a high tariff. Japan has tariffs on things. Virtually every country, but we're not. We're saying, oh no, it's free trade. And why? Well, because it helps the multinational corporations. I got to move along here. 1-866-889-8894. Thanks, Brian. Jeff in Denver's on the line. Hey, Jeff, what's up? Got about a half a minute.
First, a very quick point as far as the Fox people he listed that were, he said were liberal.
Yeah.
Greta and Mara Lysons, and I mean many of the other people, they're not liberal.
He's never
met a liberal if he thinks that.
I don't think that what's his name, the first one, Combs is. But
yeah.
I mean, this is all a matter of, you know, who's going to argue definitions.
Why would you go on a show where people yell at you? The host yells at you, tells you to shut up.
Yeah.
I do have another point if we can hold over. If not.
Sure. Well, actually, we've got a guest coming up at the top of the next hour, so why don't you call back later on in the next hour?
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, the true people's radio. Also known as the pill that will help you escape the Matrix. You going to take the green pill or the red pill? Or I guess this year it's red or blue, right?
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hart.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Hundreds of protesters gathered outside the Superior Dome at Northern Michigan University on Tuesday to protest President Bush at a campaign rally. More than 20,000 jobs have been lost in Michigan since Bush took the White House, and according to the United Steelworkers of America, the average salary of industrial workers there has dropped 26% since 2000.
Bolivians will go to the polls on Sunday to cast a vote that is detrimental not just to the future of the nation's natural gas reserves, but also to the future of President Carlos Mesa. The referendum will ask if voters want to allow gas exports and have more state control over one of Latin America's biggest reserves. Poverty-stricken Indians, who are the majority in the country, grew up with stories of ancestors being enslaved by European colonists and are skeptical of allowing foreign companies access to resources. Former President Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozado was ousted by Indian groups in October when he announced plans to export gas. Some Indians have called for a national strike to block voting, but the president has ordered troops to ensure citizens have access to the polls. Unrest in Bolivia would be a major setback for Latin America, a region of the world that has been struggling economically for the past two decades.
The Equal Employment Opportunities Commission ruled this week that weapons maker Lockheed Martin is partially responsible for the deaths of six black employees who were shot by a white coworker, Doug Williams. In the months prior to the shootings last year, several black employees contacted Lockheed's Human Resources Department saying that Williams had threatened their lives and repeatedly made racist comments. Lockheed Martin faces at least eight wrongful deaths into the incident.
Lights will stay on in Boston. An agreement has been reached between the owners of a nuclear plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and union leaders. Representatives of the Utility Workers Union said the agreement was a fair deal that protected the wages, benefits, and safety of workers. In the event that an agreement couldn't be reached, the union had scheduled a strike for midnight on Tuesday that could have led to power disruptions throughout the region. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A recent AP-sponsored poll of 1,000 American adults found more than half are willing to pay more in taxes if the money helps ease congestion in the commute to work. Yet the poll suggests most would want to see the money used for wider roads, not mass transit options. According to national-scale research done by the Texas Transportation Institute, average rush hour commuting times have tripled during the last 20 years.
You've been listening to WIND, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You put in 30 years at the company. You got good pay, health care. Then they send your job overseas. And under George Bush, the company actually gets a tax break for doing it. Now, Bush says we're in recovery. And after a year, you finally land another job, and you wonder, is this what you worked your whole life for? We're not being led. We're being misled.
George W., bless his little heart, loves national parks. At least he tells us he does in various campaign ads and carefully staged photo ops that picture him in khaki and plaid walking around our parks. In fact, we now learn that George so loves national parks that he can't stand to hear any bad things said about them. So the Bushites have issued new, upbeat talking points, instructing all park personnel not only to speak positively about park conditions, but also to praise George himself for being so good for our parks. They find it necessary to try dictating what's said about the parks because, well, the parks are deteriorating. Badly. This is especially embarrassing to George because he had campaigned in 2000 on a solemn pledge to eliminate the $4 billion backlog in needed repairs to fix unsafe trails, clogged toilets, closed facilities, etc. But he didn't keep his promise. In fact, he has cut park budgets. The repair backlog now stands at $5 billion and growing. To try covering up the obvious, the Bushites issued an internal memo to park superintendents, instructing them not to use the term budget cuts when telling visitors why things are such a mess, but instead to say service level adjustments. Also, they were told to implement their budget cuts in areas that won't cause public or political controversy. And if visitors ask about the bad conditions, superintendents were told to say, "This administration is very committed to preserving the resources of the national parks." What happens if a park official balks at the new Bush speak? Asked Teresa Chambers, head of the U.S. Park Police. When she told reporters that she didn't have the funds to do an adequate job, she was forced to go on administrative leave and ordered not to talk to reporters. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight Bush's politicalization of our parks, call the National Parks Conservation Association, 1-800-628-7275.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Great news from Viagra Sildenafil Citrate. Now there's a card that can get you Viagra for free. Introducing the Value Card for Viagra. With it, every time you fill 6 eligible prescriptions, you'll get the next one completely free. There's no other Viagra, and there's no other offer like this. To get your card, ask your pharmacist or healthcare provider, or go to ViagraCard.com. See the value again and again with the Value Card for Viagra. Go to ViagraCard.com today. Offer may not be available in all areas.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border. Who knows? We're on 2 satellites, maybe even planet to planet here today. Welcome back to our program. It's the third hour of our Thursday show. And in the second or third hour of our program on every Thursday, we have on a guest who takes us into realms, you know, it's as Don Rumsfeld says, there's things you know and there's things you don't know, and then there's things that you don't know, but you need to know, but you don't know that you don't know them, so if you don't know that you don't know me, but you do know that you know, but then when you figure out that you need, and the bottom line of all this is maybe there's stuff that you didn't know that you need to know that maybe even what you think you know is wrong. So it's our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment.
Know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync. You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Is it possible? The average American, one out of every 100, think of 100 people, how many people, how many square blocks around your house would that be? One out of every 100 people will be killed by a health care related mistake in his lifetime or her lifetime. Rather scary statistic. We have now the conservatives in the House and the Senate and George W. and the AMA out there saying, we need to put caps on these lawsuits. This liability, this is terrible. People can sue if we kill them. We can't have that. That's not right. By day, Jeff Graw is an aerospace engineer. By night, he researches the medical liability crisis. He's the head of Coloradans for Responsible Healthcare. Jeff Graw, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
I'm pleased to have you here. Tell us about, first of all, I understand both you and your wife have been, and just, you know, in the kind of normal course of life, have been the victims of medical malpractice.
You know, I thought, wow, you know, I must be the most unlucky person in the world, lightning striking me twice here. And, really didn't think about suing at first, and but I was very angry with the hospital's response to what happened to Tanya. So I, I asked them for an investigation, and I was basically told, this is a private matter, and we really aren't going to talk to you about it.
You mean private, like between you and your doctor?
I went around the doctor. I went to the hospital.
Right.
I said, what happened was he punctured Tanya's uterus and her intestine, and while he caught the puncture in the uterus, he didn't find the intestinal puncture and released her out of the hospital.
She nearly died
from the mistake.
Yeah.
And
this has led you to investigate this on in a broader context and look in, and plus your own experience with this, and you've found some really amazing things. That more Americans are killed by medical mistakes than the total number of malpractice payments made each year. In other words, if 100% of the people who just the people who died as a result of malpractice were to sue, there would actually be an increase in malpractice lawsuits. In other words, everybody who dies is not suing.
That's right. That's right. And I think that if everybody who was actually hurt in some way was reasonably compensated for their injuries, we would bankrupt the system. And I'm not looking to have that event occur where we make it so easy to sue. But what we have in the media is such a turnaround of the truth that people just don't even realize how bad the system is and how much they're being deceived.
Yeah, on your website, Coloradans for Responsible Healthcare, which is www.responsiblehealthcare.org, you note that the American Medical Association told Congress that the average jury award is now $3.5 million, but the government data indicates that the average malpractice payment is in 2002 was $275,000. You point out that the AMA told Congress that over half of all jury awards exceed $1 million, yet insurance industry data indicates that only about 6% of malpractice payments exceed $1 million between 1999 and 2001. Did the AMA lie to Congress, and if so, why?
Well, that is my accusation, and why is a good question, because really when you look at the statistics, how much is actually being paid out versus how much the community is making off of mistakes, it almost comes out as a wash, and so it is somewhat confusing to
hang on just a second. How does a community make money on medical malpractice mistakes? I don't understand that.
Well, as the Johns Hopkins study pointed out, and a very, very good study, it was misquoted in the media quite badly, but if you actually get the study, Johns Hopkins put out a study in October of last year in which they said that medical mistakes result in $9.3 billion in excess charges, and that hospitals actually collect about half of this.
Oh, I see. Okay, so for example, when the doctor punctured two parts of your what, you know, punctured her uterus and her intestine, she got sick. She had to have additional medical care. That additional medical care had to be paid for, generated a bill. You still
over
there?
Over $20,000 to the hospital.
Yeah. So the medical malpractice is actually increasing the cost of health care, regardless of the fact that somebody might sue over it. It's driving up the cost of health care to you, me, and the insurance companies, and increasing the profit margins of the hospitals.
So what you see is in 2002, about $4.2 billion was paid out to malpractice victims and to their greedy lawyers, I might add. And about 4.6 was collected in medical bills for fixing mistakes.
Hmm.
Now, when you take into account that $4.2 billion being paid out largely pays for additional medical bills, we see that a lot of that money, this outrageous sum of money that's being paid out, a lot of it's actually coming back into the medical community, and by the way of fixing up the mistakes that were made.
Yeah. Now, just a second ago, you talked about the greedy lawyers. Were you being facetious, or did you mean that? I mean, I have a
friend. Of course I'm being facetious.
Oh, okay.
Because
I was going to say, I've got a friend who's a medical malpractice lawyer down in Atlanta, a very, very close friend, and he actually got the largest verdict in the history of Georgia about, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years ago. Must be more like 10 years ago. But he worked on this thing for a year and a half, and he funded the entire thing himself out of his own pocket, and it was a crapshoot. I mean, he was on the verge of going broke personally if he didn't win this case. He thought it was, you know, he was pretty sure he was going to win it. He ended up winning it. I mean, this woman had just been horribly disfigured by an incompetent drug addicted doctor, where the hospital knew he was and had allowed him to continue practice. He'd had all these complaints against him. There's apparently a very small number of doctors who account for the vast majority of malpractice suits, and this was one of them. And I wouldn't characterize my friend Bob as greedy. I mean, he's an entrepreneur. He sees an opportunity, he goes for it, and he's making pretty good money these days. But the first few years of his practice, he was living on white bread and Twinkies. I mean, he was living on the edge.
Clearly,
what we hear in the media and the propaganda that we hear is quite a bit different than reality in a lot of cases. And even though there are some lawyers who do fairly well in the field, what you see, particularly here in Colorado, is most of the lawyers who advertise that they take malpractice cases also take lots of other cases, specifically automobile accident cases.
Right.
And so, you know, the argument that if you don't think that there's a problem with, you know, malpractice, just look in the yellow pages at all the ads for medical malpractice, that is not a good argument, because these lawyers take some malpractice cases, but they often supplement, and there are very, very few lawyers in Colorado that actually just handle malpractice cases.
Yeah, well, let me get back to this original question here. The AMA apparently, you know, is giving misinformation to Congress. First of all, I think that's a crime. You point out typical of payments.
Well, I thought it was, but apparently I'm wrong.
Well,
you know, I actually went to the Denver Post. Okay, I don't want to name names here. So I went to the local newspaper and I said, look, you know, I've got all of this stuff that just proves that the AMA lied to Congress. And he told me, lying to Congress isn't a news story. He says, I need something, you know, flashy, like cutting off the wrong part of somebody's body or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, or somebody busted for drugs or prostitution downtown, right? It's amazing. You think of the tobacco industry guys, right? Those seven, I think it was seven of them, of the maybe it was five, the leading tobacco. One of them, of course, was Lou Gerstner, who went on to be the head of IBM. It was the head of RGAR at the time. All of them stood up there and raised their right hand and swore an oath, you know, before God and on the Bible or whatever, and then proceeded to say, no, tobacco is not addictive. You know, to the best of my knowledge, tobacco is not addictive. And none of those guys were ever prosecuted. I'm still scratching my head over that one. So you say the AMA,
you know,
may be doing the same thing.
The more I look into this, and the deeper I look into this, I get the exact same feeling. The more I research, the more unbelievable stuff I'm finding.
So here's the question,
and,
Jeff. What's the bottom? What can we do? What's your call
question.
For action?
This really is a call to arms.
Yeah, because we've got about a minute and a half left here.
The AMA has 44 of the 50 states listed as states in crisis right now.
Hmm.
And we are actively, they are actively campaigning in 20 states right now, as well as at the national level, to get reforms. We're asking people
what they call reforms
to educate themselves and get involved. In our webpage, I think we have a fairly comprehensive set of data. I have a bunch more information I'm going to be downloading in the next few weeks about the access to healthcare myth.
Mm-hmm.
But
what's the access to healthcare myth? This is your website is responsiblehealthcare.org, by the way. What's
good
the
question? I'm going to be adding a bunch more stuff. But let me just tell you about Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a wonderful case study. Reader's Digest said, you know, doctors are fleeing Pennsylvania. Sure enough, the GAO goes into Pennsylvania, and they found that 159 doctors had left Pennsylvania between 2001 and 2003. Now, the other day I heard a caller call in on one of the talk shows and said, I'm definitely voting Republican because we have to save our doctors here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay, so 159 doctors out of
got about 20 seconds here, Jeff.
400 doctors left. But interesting here, what we see is the population of Pennsylvania has grown at a rate of 3.7% between 1990 and 2002.
Yeah.
The number of doctors in Pennsylvania has grown at 31%. The number of doctors in Pennsylvania is growing 8.3 times faster than the population.
Amazing, amazing. Jeff, thank you very much for being with us. Jeff Graw, his Coloradans for Responsible Healthcare's website, responsiblehealthcare.org. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service.
Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
How can contemporary America possibly compare with 1933 Germany? Find out in Tom Hartman's brand new fully illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America. Through Tom's concise political analysis and Neil Cohn's vibrant illustrations, you'll observe an unsettling, if not shocking, perspective of America. You'll also hear what the founders of this country did to control corporate power. You'll be invited to consider how the American political system can be made more democratic, as well as comprehend the project for the new American century's vision for America. Here's what syndicated cartoonist Ted Rawl said after reading We the People.
An ambitious effort to explain everything that's wrong in America, how things got this way, and what should be done about it. We the People is the product of a brilliant and principled thinker.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Available in bookstores everywhere.
For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost me.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555. And mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Twenty-four and a half minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. I found the clip. It is one of the more interesting little bits of American history. Audio memorabilia. Here we go.
Please consider yourself to be under oath.
Yes or no? Do you believe nicotine is not addictive?
I believe nicotine is not addictive, yes.
Congressman, cigarettes and nicotine clearly do not meet the classic definitions of addiction.
I don't believe that nicotine or our products are addictive.
I believe that nicotine is not addictive.
I believe that nicotine is not addictive.
And the last one.
And I, too, believe that nicotine is not addictive.
Yes, and see, let's just turn America over to the corporate executives. Let's let them run everything. They are so ethical. They are so truthful. They are so honest. Okay, yes, there are some very good people running corporations. I have run corporations. Never a Fortune 500 corporation, granted, but, you know, there are some good people running corporations. And it doesn't matter because the rules of the game are set up. Very straightforward. If you don't run your corporation in a way that maximizes shareholder return, you have committed a crime. You must do what makes profit. 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number, Billy in Santa Cruz is on the line. Hey, Billy, how you doing?
I'm great. You know, as a shareholder, I don't expect you to prey on people to make profit, however. That isn't part of the understanding we have.
But, well, it's part of the post-Reagan understanding.
Well, it's only for some. I mean, that's the difference between a Republican and a Democrat.
Yeah, and that's...
And here's the issue. The leaders is what we need to talk about.
Yes.
The leaders tend to be the most toxic personality types in the world.
Yeah.
Now, as you point out, there are corporations that are run in a really fair fashion where the guys take a lot of money but not too much. The corporations you run, Intel, where my wife worked, was not a kleptocracy.
Yeah, and you can find these
based on greed, they make nothing except money.
Yeah, and you can find these I mean, there are socially responsible investment funds and there are, you know, companies that are quite proud of this.
That far.
Yeah.
But I called to talk about my friends Brownback and Santorum today.
Oh, my. Okay.
It's time for the red meat portion of our show.
Yes, indeed.
Because, Tom, you're just way too nice.
In fact,
one of the early calls I made on talk radio for a local host here was when he had the Tobacco Institute in, and he was being a host and therefore being polite.
Yeah.
And I felt the need to get on there and call these people what they were, which is the lowest form of scum on earth. If you'll remember, the Tobacco Institute were the people sort of paid to keep us confused about the truth, about the science.
When these guys were testifying before Congress, I got so fried. We were living in Atlanta at the time, which is the headquarters of RJR. I just picked up the phone and I called RJR, and this poor woman who answered the phone, I mean, I was just rip-roaring mad. This poor woman, because we had young kids at that time. We were struggling with this thing of smoking, and I said, how can you go to sleep at night taking a paycheck from a company whose president would testify like this before Congress? And she was like, I'm just trying to, and I got it. You know, she's just trying to put food on her family, as George
exactly.
Bush would say.
And for the guys at the top,
I felt really
answer
bad.
Is what you said. He says, you know, if you saw my paycheck, you'd understand it. Because when you're willing to damage Americans, they pay you very good to do that.
Yeah, and in fact, there are a couple of authors out there who suggest that the reason CEOs make so much money is it's hard to find sociopaths.
Yes, but again, there's a lot of people who are willing to run companies without being ridiculously compensated to the extent that they are stealing. In other words, it's like, you know, when you first learn about golden parachutes, what that basically means is if someone comes along and buys the company, that means I can no longer loot the company. You must pay me a lot of money to no longer be able to loot my company.
It's the robber barons revisited.
Exactly.
Yep.
Anyway, quickly about Santorum.
Got five seconds here. Billy, hang on. If you want to talk about Santorum Brownback, I think that's a good one, and I'd love to know what you have to say about it. So hang on over this break, and we'll get into a rant here. It's 29 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Got a blockbuster here for you from Seymour Hersh. Some interesting... If this thing makes the national news, it's going to be a shocker. Stick around. We'll be right back.
At last, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Hundreds of protesters gathered outside the Superior Dome at Northern Michigan University on Tuesday to protest President Bush at a campaign rally. More than 20,000 jobs have been lost in Michigan since Bush took the White House, and according to the United Steelworkers of America, the average salary of industrial workers there has dropped 26% since 2000.
Bolivians will go to the polls on Sunday to cast a vote that is detrimental not just to the future of the nation's natural gas reserves, but also to the future of President Carlos Mesa. The referendum will ask if voters want to allow gas exports and have more state control over one of Latin America's biggest reserves. Poverty-stricken Indians, who are the majority in the country, grew up with stories of ancestors being enslaved by European colonists and are skeptical of allowing foreign companies access to resources. Former President Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozado was ousted by Indian groups in October when he announced plans to export gas. Some Indians have called for a national strike to block voting, but the president has ordered troops to ensure citizens have access to the polls. Unrest in Bolivia would be a major setback for Latin America, a region of the world that has been struggling economically for the past two decades.
The Equal Employment Opportunities Commission ruled this week that weapons maker Lockheed Martin is partially responsible for the deaths of six black employees who were shot by a white coworker, Doug Williams. In the months prior to the shootings last year, several black employees contacted Lockheed's Human Resources Department saying that Williams had threatened their lives and repeatedly made racist comments. Lockheed Martin faces at least 8 wrongful death lawsuits in relation to the incident.
Lights will stay on in Boston. An agreement has been reached between the owners of a nuclear plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and union leaders. Representatives of the Utility Workers Union said the agreement was a fair deal that protected the wages, benefits, and safety of workers. In the event that an agreement couldn't be reached, the union had scheduled a strike for midnight on Tuesday that could have led to power disruptions throughout the region. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A recent AP-sponsored poll of 1,000 American adults found more than half are willing to pay more in taxes if the money helps ease congestion in the commute to work. Yet the poll suggests most would want to see the money used for wider roads, not mass transit options. According to national-scale research done by the Texas Transportation Institute, average rush hour commuting times have tripled during the last 20 years.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
You see 26 and a half minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Welcome back. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Let's get Billy in here to finish up his thoughts on Santorum, and then we'll move along to this incredible Seymour Hirsch story. Billy, what did you witness? Here I am, blithering.
Okay, first, let me just say that the bumper you're supposed to play before I come on is the Dylan, because my wife worked for him for 6 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. I have a friend who used to work for him, but that's another discussion. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that sometime.
Yeah.
Quickly to finish the old business, though, what was the penalty for lying to Congress? How many years did they go to prison for?
That's the point. I mean, it's Bill Clinton apparently can get impeached for lying about...
Sex.
You know, yeah. I'm not even sure I'd really call that sex. I mean, it's sex.
Well, you know what? It's been a while, so I wouldn't know what to call it.
but I mean, you know, it could have been a whole awful lot more, let's say. Yeah, but the tobacco executives who, you know, they just kill a million people a year, more or less, all around the planet. No penalty.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's just like, you know, George Bush. Gee, we've, you know, 1,000 coalition soldiers dead now, 40,000 Iraqis dead, 16,000 Americans have lost arms, legs,
eyes. Don't steal a loaf of bread.
Yeah, dead, but, you
know. Don't get hungry and actually steal. When you steal people's lives and savings, that's okay.
But don't be hungry and steal a loaf of bread.
There you go, yeah. In England 150, 200 years ago, that would have gotten you deported to Australia, and in America today, it gets you in prison.
Sure. Sure.
So,
but don't, but you know, and but
guys committing fraud over there in the.
Yeah. So anyhow, your point about Rick, because I got to move along here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Rick, his quote was, "I cannot think of anything more important than the basic social building block of our country, and that's what marriage is. It's in jeopardy." Well, let me tell you, Rick, the basic social building block of this country is the freedom of the individual. You have no right to misunderstand and to lie about what this country is about. Each one of us, we don't have to be part of a family.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And well said, Billy. Thanks a lot for the call.
One more quick thing
One more quick thing. Sure.
He keeps referring to the fetal tissue samples, the six cells, as young humans.
Yeah, the ones that are on petri dishes as a result of in vitro fertilization that are going to be disposed of anyway.
Well, exactly. They're not young humans. They're future garbage.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it.
There you go. There you go. Well said. Thanks, Billy. I appreciate your spiciness up here. Okay, here's this along the points of, you know, along the lines of. You know, Rick Santorum saying, yeah, well, you know, you got to do it's biblical stuff. This is, you know, this great letter, marvelous letter. You're going to love this. This has been around for a while. I've seen this in email a couple of times. It's a letter to George Bush. Dear President Bush, thank you so much for all you're doing to educate people regarding God's law. I have learned a great deal from your show. No. Must be, dear President, anyhow, and try to share that knowledge with as many people as I can. When someone tries to defend the homosexual lifestyle, for example, I simply remind them that Leviticus 18:22 clearly states homosexuality to be an abomination. End of debate. I do need some advice from you, however, regarding some other elements of God's laws and how to follow them. Leviticus 25:44 states that I may possess slaves, both male and female, provided they are purchased from neighboring nations. A friend of mine claims that this applies to Mexicans but not Canadians. Can you clarify? Why can't I own Canadians? 2. I would like to sell my daughter into slavery as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7. In this day and age, what do you think would be a fair price for her? 3. I know that I am allowed no contact with a woman while she is in her period of menstrual uncleanliness, Leviticus 15:19-24. The problem is, how do I tell? I've tried asking, but most women take offense. 4. When I burn a bull on the altar as a sacrifice, I know it creates a pleasing odor for the Lord, Leviticus 1:9. The problem is my neighbors. They claim the odor is not pleasing to them. Should I smite them? 5. I have a neighbor who insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 clearly states that he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself, or should I ask the police to do it? 6. A friend of mine feels that even though eating shellfish is an abomination, Leviticus 11:10 says it is a lesser abomination, says it is. My friend thinks that it's a lesser abomination than homosexuality. I don't agree. Can you settle this? Are there degrees of abomination? Number 7. Leviticus 21:20 states that I may not approach the altar of God if I have a defect in my sight. I have to admit I wear reading glasses. Does my vision have to be 20/20, or is there some wiggle room here? 8. Most of my male friends get their hair trimmed, including the hair around their temples, even though this is expressly forbidden by Leviticus 19:27. How should they die? 9. I know from Leviticus 11:6 that touching the skin of a dead pig makes me unclean, but may I still play football if I wear gloves? 10. My uncle has a farm. He violates Leviticus 19:19 by planting two different crops in the same field, as does his wife by wearing garments made of two different kinds of thread, cotton polyester blend. He also tends to curse and blaspheme a lot. Is it really necessary that we go to all the trouble of getting the whole town together to stone them, as Leviticus 24:10 says? Couldn't we just burn them to death at a private family affair, like we do with people who sleep with their in-laws, according to Leviticus 24:10? I know you've studied these things extensively and thus enjoy considerable expertise in such matters, so I'm confident you can help. Your adoring fan, Homer J. Simpson. Well, okay. The Daily Mislead. This from misleader.org. www.misleader.org. The Daily Mislead. President Bush has claimed that the prison abuse scandal in Iraq was just conduct by a few American troops. Yes, that's a direct quote from the President of the United States. Just conduct by a few American troops. But with Congress investigating the scandal, a series of explosive new reports provides evidence that the tactics may have been improved at the highest levels of government. Even worse, one leading investigative journalist says the administration is holding videotapes of soldiers sodomizing Iraqi children as part of the interrogation process. According to a newly released Pentagon memo from 2002, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld personally authorized the use of controversial interrogation tactics, including using dogs to intimidate, stripping prisoners of their clothes, and placing hoods on prisoners so they cannot see. Rumsfeld also ordered military officials to hold prisoners without listing them on prisoner rolls requested by the International Red Cross. I don't know if you saw the story in the news day before yesterday. The Red Cross is now saying that there are thousands of American prisoners, not just from Iraq, around the world, that are not accounted for. People are saying the Americans took my father, my brother, my son, whatever, off. And they are suspect. I mean, the Red Cross basically came out and said the United States has secret prisons around the world, or they're shipping these people off to, like, Saudi Arabia for interrogation. You know how they do it in Saudi Arabia. And they're not appearing on any, and we've lost track of them. Anyhow, and according to Brigadier General Janis Karpinski, who was the head of detention operations at Abu Ghraib, Rumsfeld, quote, approved tactics at the prison, end quote, directly. As reported by Newsweek, these memos and orders were signed off by Rumsfeld and signed off by George W. Bush and signed off by Attorney General John Ashcroft and were part of a, quote, secret system of detention and interrogation that opened the door to such methods, end quote, of abuse as seen in Iraq. And now here's where it gets really scary. Making matters worse, investigative journalist Seymour Hersh. Now, Hersh is the guy who originally published in the New Yorker the photographs that then made the newspapers and then made 60 Minutes and on it went. Okay, he's the guy who originally broke the story. Hersh has broken a number of stories over the years. I believe that he was one of the original people who broke the Watergate story. I could be wrong on that, but I believe so. Anyhow, Seymour Hersh, the New Yorker, told the American Civil Liberties Union this week that videotapes were made by our soldiers of young boys being sodomized at Abu Ghraib. Actually, it doesn't say by our soldiers. It may have been by the private contractors. I mean, this is the bizarre nature of this. There was another news story this morning that I saw, and I should have clipped it out to give you the verbatim quote. I didn't, so I'll have to give it to you from memory. But essentially what it said was that the method of hiring that was used for interrogators at Abu Ghraib and other American prisons, Guantanamo and whatnot. See, they've outsourced this stuff. This is George Bush's Brave New World, right? Government bad, corporations good. So we pay money to the corporations to do things the government used to do. Maybe that the corporations will charge a little more for it. I mean, we've got soldiers over in Iraq who are, you know, making $20,000 a year, standing next to Halliburton con guys who are making $150,000 a year. And then not only that, Halliburton makes a guaranteed 7% profit. And not only that, they've got to, you know, they got to pad the bill a little bit because they've got to pay stockholders, of course. I mean, how else is Dick Cheney going to make his, you know, his deferred compensation on which he's getting nice interest payments as well as... Anyhow, so they outsource this stuff. And the criteria that they're using for hiring interrogators is the criteria that was defined for hiring computer programmers. Seriously. That, you know, they just, well, okay, use that. And Seymour Hersh, in his speech before the ACLU,
says, and I'm quoting now from Seymour Hersh, "The worst is the soundtrack of the boys shrieking." He goes on to say, there is a massive amount of criminal wrongdoing that was covered up at the highest command out there and higher. Okay, well, the only thing higher than the highest military command is the civilian command, which would be Rumsfeld and Bush. Right? I mean, you know, it's... He called the prison... Hersh called the prison scene a series of massive crimes, criminal activity by the president and the vice president. War crimes. This is, you know, one of America's top investigative journalists. He says, the outrages have cost us the support of moderate Arabs because, quote, they see us as a sexually perverse society. This is such a tragedy. And this is the road that you travel down when you start out by setting up concentration camps and saying, you know, these human beings, we're not going to give them any rights. They have no rights. We're going to, you know, put them away. They got no rights. They can't see a lawyer. They don't have the right to know what they're charged with. And it's just, you talk about your slippery slope. I mean, you would think that we would have learned from the experience of Germany in the 30s and the Soviet states in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And every other dictatorship around the world that thinks that they can do this. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, 13 minutes before the hour. Paul in Detroit is on the line. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Hello, I'll be very quick, Tom. I think I know why the 28 pages were redacted from the Congressional 9/11 report.
Why is that?
In today's New York Times and also the Washington Post, the Senate Subcommittee on Investigation has released a report regarding Riggs Bank in Washington, D.C. as money laundering, suitcases full of shrink-wrapped cash, and also setting up offshore accounts for tax evasion. One of the top CEOs at Riggs Bank is Jonathan Bush, who is the uncle of George W. Bush.
Oh, geez.
He's the CEO of RIMCO, which is a wholly owned subsidiary. It was purchased in the mid-1990s by Riggs, and it's been since then that the money laundering has been occurring between the Saudis and through Riggs Bank,
yeah,
to Al-Qaeda, and also the hijackers through the... it's all in the is in the New York Times today.
Yeah, the Saudis and the Bush family. I mean, you know, George Bush's business when it was going down the tubes, he got bailed out by Osama bin Laden's brother, and then you got Neil Bush. I was in Colorado about the time that the Silverado, the savings and loan scandal was happening on the Reagan, during the Reagan administration,
yes.
The guy that I was with drove us by Neil Bush's house out there near the country club, and he says, you know, that the house was apparently involved in the bankruptcy somehow. I don't remember the whole story, but you know, it's like Neil Bush walked away with millions from that thing, it was Neil, wasn't it?
February, Wall Street Journal said that the attorneys representing the 9/11 victims are investigating the Riggs Bank for assisting the Saudis in transferring millions,
yeah,
specifically $400,000 to the hijackers and Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
So it's in the courts and also being federally investigated.
And the uncle of George W. I mean,
Jonathan Bush.
Jonathan Bush. Amazing. Paul, thanks for the tip. I will have to check out the New York Times here. And
also, just punch in Jonathan Riggs and Riggs Bank.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, keep in mind, Ahmed Chalabi's claim to fame is that he had that bank in Jordan and that went down the tubes to the tune of $600 million, ripping off investors. He fled the country, and he's been sentenced to 22 years hard labor in absentia in Jordan. If he ever leaves Iraq and goes to Jordan, he's in prison for the rest of his life.
And the Bush administration knew that while they were taking information from him.
Oh, they love you. Oh, he's just a bank robber? Hey, you know, George's grandfather, George W.'s grandfather, Prescott Bush, yeah, was, you know, Roosevelt outed him in 1944 43 for doing business with the Nazis, and he lost his bank, you know, the Union Savings Bank.
Shut the bank down.
There
42.
You go. 42 it was. You're right, yeah. Thank you. Anyhow, thanks, Paul, for that tip. It's good to hear from you. 10 minutes before the hour.
Amazing. We have to have regime change in America. I mean, if you're not registered to vote, get out there, get registered, get ready. November 2nd is only 110 days away, 10 minutes before the hour.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order 2 bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get 2 bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive 2 free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order 2 bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get 2 bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value, free as your gift. Guaranteed, or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Researchers learn more about whales and dolphins by doing CAT scans on their fossils. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Whales, dolphins, and porpoises have some of the largest and most complex brains of any mammals on Earth. Lori Marino wants to know more about how these creatures evolved. Marino is a neuroscientist at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia.
One of the things we're interested in is how dolphins and porpoises and whales got their big brains. We know that they have very big brains, and we've done studies to show that next to humans, they're the brainiest mammals on the planet. So the question is, how do they get these big brains? Why did they get these big brains? And what do the big brains allow them to do?
Marino says the brains of many mammals are packed tightly into the skull. The brain leaves an impression in the bone that reveals details about its structure. That means the evolution of the brain is embedded inside fossils of animal skulls. But it's hard to look inside these fossils. What was once bone and brain has been transformed into a solid piece of rock. Marino has studied fossils with the medical technology used for CAT scans on people. This equipment can create a three-dimensional digital image of a living body, and it does the same thing with other types of material. Marino says it's revolutionized her line of work because it reveals different densities in fossils and outlines the parts that were once the bone of a living animal. Marino has used this technology to examine skulls of whales that are more than 30 million years old. She says the digital images are showing how whales developed the wrinkled gray matter known as the neocortex. That's the part of the brain that's critical to high-level intelligence. It's a dominant feature of the brains of whales and dolphins, and also human beings. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
No, you gotta get involved.
An open course for the Virgin Sea.
No. Join the Democratic or the Republican Party or the Greens or the Progress. Join a political party, get active, and change America. That's what it takes. We have to take back our democracy. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number is 4 minutes before the hour. Tony in Maryland's on the line. Hey, Tony, what's up?
As you know, I've called before, I'm a Republican that's leaving the party. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Republican Party is savable. But if you don't mind, you were talking about Fox a little bit ago.
Yes.
What I find so amazing is that real Republicans do not watch Fox. They don't listen to Hannity and all that kind of stuff. They don't watch any of that stuff because Republicans need information. Well, people.
See,
not just Republicans.
Yeah, I was going to say, your definition of real Republicans is I think, the Republican Party of my father's day when I was a kid.
Exactly.
It's the Republicans of Eisenhower and Everett Dirksen and Barry Goldwater was pushing the edge, but right up into there.
Well, I think that's why a lot of people are leaving it, because it's just been taken over by, it's become this, anyway.
Yeah, the ultimate irony, is that Howard Dean, who was our governor, I lived here in Vermont while he was governor for 8 or 9 years. He was governor for, I think, 12 years. His policies were Rockefeller Republican, and that's most of what he was taking on the campaign trail. And people are going, this guy's a liberal wacko. And he was saying things that Eisenhower was saying. Pardon me, Tony. You wanted to make a point.
The point I wanted to make was that, first of all, there's two, is that real Republicans don't watch that stuff. They know it's garbage. It's garbage in, garbage out. And people in general cannot take care of their families based on garbage. You can't make investments. You can't decide on health care. You can't do anything based on garbage. Nobody that I know even watches. I've never watched that stuff in my life.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is every single solitary Republican location, the White House, any RNC location.
Got to wrap it up here, Tony.
Anything like that, they all turn Fox on. But
yeah.
They do it not because the information is legitimate. They're doing it to increase the ratings and increase the revenue dollars.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Tony, I got a boogie, but a good point made. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's the Tom Hartman Program. Thanks to Louise for producing our show today. Thanks to Ira Gravatt for engineering it. Thanks to Brad Walrod for our music, and Shelby for streaming us around the planet. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Jay for our music, for performing and writing it. Thanks to the folks in our chat room for showing up. Thanks to you for listening. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
While the world seems to be collapsing around us, there is hope. Tom Hartman's inspiring book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, has just been re-released. The new updated version is available now and offers solutions to the issues that concern us most: eco-damage, genetic engineering, virulent disease, the end of cheap oil, water shortages, global famine, wars. We can still do something about it and create a world that will work for us and our children's children.